much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
I don't know what your mother told you, but let me explain it from my side in terms you can understand.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G. Ah!
We've been hearing a lot about Uber lately, so we thought we'd get out there and talk to some actual Uber partners. We talked to Beer Mug. What's your experience been?
This is the best job I've ever had.
How much money have you made driving Uber?
Well, none yet. In fact, I'm out of pocket for insurance and I bought a new car, but I'm going to be raking it in soon.
What's the best thing about being an Uber partner?
I make my own hours. I'm my own boss.
How many hours a week do you drive for Uber?
Well, I was going to drive some this week, but I had to go swimming, and then, you know, I had to recharge my batteries from all the other things that I do, but I can't wait to get out there and be an Uber partner.
Is it hard to make money with Uber?
I wouldn't really know. I haven't really dedicated much time to it, but I've heard good things.
And now...
Hold on, I smell pot. You smell pot?
Our feature presentation.
That guy does good work.
Amazing. Yep.
He does.
And needs to keep doing what he's doing.
Exactly. Don't ever change, Burmuck. Don't ever change.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin DeBean Show. It is Wednesday. It's the 2nd of December.
So? Sup?
Sup.
Sup.
Hey, what is art?
Laughter, sad, tears,
cry.
Is this a trick question? Or
no, it's not a trick question. How do you know if something is art? Is it art just if somebody says it's art?
Yes.
I believe so.
This is one of my pet peeves.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. If anyone says that it's worth a lot, then everybody else goes, wow, it must be worth a lot.
Because,
and you go, I could have done that when I was 4.
I mean, there are a lot of things that you look at and go, I could do. Like that, whoever that that painter is who draws the little colorful squares on a canvas. I mean, anyone could paint that, but he did paint that.
Right.
And that became his thing, and they became famous, and he became rich. So, I mean, it doesn't have to appeal to most people in order to be art. I mean, if one person likes Yoko Ono standing in a room screaming her head off,
right.
I guess that's art, right? Even though for the rest of us, we just go, that's just annoying. Shia LaBeouf sitting in a movie theater watching his movies.
That's
that was
art.
That was an art experiment. Is that art? Does that count as art? I mean, is the what's he creating there? Just the experience of you sitting in a room with Shia LaBeouf, watching Shia LaBeouf on a screen? I mean, is that art, right, I guess?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's performance art, right?
Sure.
I don't know.
Well, the reason I've been rolling these big questions around in my mind is because there's something going on right now that's very popular. His name is Almer Atlason. He is Icelandic. He is a student at the Iceland Institute of the Arts, and he is in the middle now of a live stream. It began on the 30th. I guess that was Monday. He's doing a live stream right now where he is living in a glass box at the Icelandic Academy there for a week, and he's completely naked.
Okay.
So it's just you can tune in. It's a live stream that anyone around the world can see 24 hours a day of him living in a box. I think it's basically just something cool, he told Icelandic media site. On many levels, it's an experiment, but it's a bit weird being 23 years old and having never been alone for a week. It's a part of a final assignment for a class in methods and solutions. So I don't know how this applies to whatever I don't know what the assignment was, but he says he's doing it for his class. So he's living in a fish tank, basically, eating, sleeping, reading, using the bathroom. He's got a bag.
Oh.
Well, I don't know that we need.
Yeah.
I'm sure people were wondering.
I'm sure they assume
how a 23-year-old in a glass box is going to live for a week. One moment, she even showed him on camera adjusting himself.
Good. Bean watches the stream, by the way, for 40 seconds
it's on
at a time.
Right now.
40 seconds, and then like, oh, okay, I need a nap.
You watch this stream, and you do look away a lot, I'll tell you that. As part of the experiment, people can supply the man with food through an opening in the tank. He can also put things outside of the box through the same opening. For the most part, he just seems to be sitting around and playing on his phone, though. In case you're curious, by the way, the stream is not in violation of YouTube's nudity and sexual content policy because it has an appropriate content warning. And here's their ruling, which I thought was interesting. A video that contains nudity or other sexual content may be allowed if the primary person is educational, documentary, scientific, or artistic, and is not gratuitously graphic. So it's his pork and beans are right up there on YouTube for anyone to see.
How are they? How does he stack up, B?
I wouldn't.
How is it?
It's hard to tell.
But I'm saying, is it impressive?
One person says, and tell me if this is an unusual reaction to the experiment. The human body is not art. Human objectification is not art. This appeals to principles of fascism and to dark desires of power and subjugation.
Well, I mean.
What?
So that's one person's reaction to the live stream. Mm. Another says, my OCD is killing me. Why won't he clean up a little bit? So, and then here's the response from Kevin in Los Angeles. He's going to regret when he farts in that box. So there you go. So there's a lot of different reactions to this man. But it's just a dude just naked in a box for a week. That's his life. That's what he's doing. That's the thing that exists in the world today.
And we have to accept that that's art?
I guess.
I mean, do we?
I mean, that's the fact. That's why I'm so troubled by this. Is it art or is it just a guy sitting in a box? I mean, if nobody watches, is it art? If there's nobody watching, is it art still? I don't know the answer to these questions.
This is why I don't try to think about these types of questions.
Just better
just let those go.
Walk on,
just
Kevin.
Walk on.
Keep moving. Well, Allie, I'll send you the link because I
Please
know you
do.
Care about nothing else.
Yep.
So. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Dude, just admit that you ruined everything and you turn our lives into a living hell. No biggie.
That's possible. Mm-hmm. It is possible. We have another Miss Double December contestant coming in today. You're excited about that. You still go to kevinandbean.com and vote for that. Friday is the pageant, the live pageant from Fullerton. We have actor, writer, director, friend, Kevin Smith in the studio today. He's got a lot of stuff going on. That guy always has a lot of stuff going
on. Very busy.
We also have Falk Henschel coming into the studio, who is Hawkman. Some terrible noises.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
That wasn't a compliment.
Oh. Okay.
And also we have tickets for the K-Rock Almost Good to Christmas and backstage passes. And we're going to give you those coming up in the 6 o'clock hour. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat next. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin Bean Show.
Why is he yelling at you?
I don't know, but
why is he yelling?
I'm afraid to turn on his mic.
This is Kevin.
Yeah, right?
Hey, Rob Grummer.
What?
Congratulations, dude.
What happened to me?
Your Philadelphia 76ers, ladies and gentlemen, big winners after losing
1-25, baby.
They lost 18 in a row to start the game. All they had to wait for is the worst team in the NBA to come to town. So they beat the Lakers last night, 103-91.
Ouch.
So the Sixers win a game.
It was our tribute to Kobe. Exactly. Flyers and Sixers won the same night. It's an unheard of, unparalleled moment in Philadelphia sports history.
Isn't Kobe's from Pennsylvania, right?
He's from Philadelphia.
Philly, yeah.
Philadelphia. Wow, that must have been.
That's where he went.
Lower Merion High, baby.
High school.
That's right. Yeah, that must have been quite an emotional evening for many people involved.
It was. And by all accounts, everyone tweeted me saying, "Wow, the Sixers fans are really giving him a nice tribute. A lot of applause and cheers for Kobe." And I said, "Well, he is a hometown boy, which makes a difference. And how often do the fans in the stands at a Sixers game have anything to cheer about ever?" They were just so happy to be able to cheer for something, anyone, anytime. Big night.
That makes a lot of sense. All right, it is a Wednesday morning wrap. Here with our first look at the Showbiz Beat on the Kevin and Bean Show. What's new? What's going on?
Well, as you know, it's list time. It's time for lists. End of the year lists. Everyone's got a list.
I love lists.
I know you do. This one is pretty interesting. Will it color the big award season coming up the beginning of next year? We'll have to wait and see. But the National Board of Review, a highly prestigious critical group, has released their list of the top 10 films of 2015.
The Pink Fruit Mountain.
It didn't make it. It didn't. I was so bummed to see it just dropped out of the top 10.
7 Sundays in May.
No, that also did not make the list.
Pig's Feet Don't Lie?
That actually was number 3.
8 Minutes from Death.
No, that was 15th on the list.
All right, what do you got?
Top 10. The best movie of 2015?
Pixels.
No, Pixels did not get top honors.
That Adam Sandler movie, The Cobbler?
The Cobbler? That was a thing? There was a movie called The Cobbler?
Yeah, that was the one where he would try on the shoes of the people whose shoes he was repairing and then become
Ralph,
that
you knew
person.
What?
No, he was on vacation.
Oh, he was. Yeah, we were fascinated with that whole thing. That's a nonsense movie. If that's not in the top 10,
then this list is bogus.
Correct. Did that come out?
Yes.
Yes, it did.
Yes, this year, The Cobbler.
Are you guys excited for The Ridiculous 7, by the way? That hilarious Western? It's going to come out on Netflix from Adam Sandler. It looks hilarious. The posters are everywhere.
Not so much.
You just know. He was stoned with his friends, David Spade and Rob Schneider, one night, and they were watching television, and The Magnificent 7 came on, and they're watching and said, wow, this is a really good movie. We're The Ridiculous 7 if they're The Magnificent 7. Bing!
Let's do it!
Green light!
All right, what's the list?
I'll just give you the top because we're running out of time. Best film of 2015, Mad Max Fury Road, according to the critics.
Okay. Hey, I don't know anyone who saw that who didn't love it.
I loved it.
Same way. I'm just stunned that an action-packed, loud-filled, Kevin-enjoyed movie would make the top of the list of the National Board of Review.
I rule. I think is what we're saying here.
Yes, that's what we're trying to say.
Uh-huh. No, you're right. It's not one of those, you know, made for adults, prestige winter films like they usually
right.
are.
It's not Room or anything.
Right.
Speaking of Room, Brie Larson got the Best Actress nod from the organization for her work in that film. Matt Damon got the Best Actor award for his role in The Martian.
Nice.
Jennifer Jason Leigh picked up Best Supporting Actress for a film called The Hateful Eight. That's the new Tarantino film.
Mm-hmm.
It's not out yet.
Not out yet. And Sylvester Stallone picked up Best Supporting Actor for his work in Creed.
Wow.
So, interesting batch. And sometimes these awards are precursors for the Oscars, so we'll have to wait and see. Today's celebrity birthdays, Lucy Liu, 47 years old today. Nate Mendel of Foo Fighters is 47 as well. Nelly Furtado is 37. Britney Spears, 34. And quarterback Aaron Rodgers of the Green Bay Packers turns 32 today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Would you like a feeling of accomplishment that you've really gotten something done before 6:15 in the morning? Then give us a call right now at 1-800-520-1067. If you would like to play a game to win tickets for night number 2 of the Kerouac Almost Christmas 2015, it is sold out for December 13th at the Forum. It's Chris Cornell night and of Monsters and Men, Panic at the Disco, the 1975 Fall Out Boy, so much more. If you want to play your way in, call now 1-800-520-1067. Good luck from the Kevin and Bean Show.
Why is the King of Sweden telling people not to take baths?
I don't like it. I don't care the reason. I don't like
That's happening, though.
Yeah.
Apparently, it is. Apparently, King Carl Gustav, who, by the way, I saw one time in person.
That's the best story I've ever heard, and I'd like to buy the movie rights to it right now.
He apparently made the comment after staying in a hotel recently where he noticed that there was no shower. There was only a tub. Now, I haven't done the math, but he thinks that you use a lot more water filling up a bathtub than you do taking a shower. I would have thought the opposite.
Same.
Yeah.
But he says no. He says it takes a lot of fresh water and energy. It struck me so clearly. It's not wise that I have to do that. I felt really ashamed. I really did. He is a very green king, by the way. He drives a hybrid car. He doesn't eat meat. And he is in Paris right now for the climate talks going on in that country with all the leaders from around the world. And one of his suggestions is, hey, don't take baths anymore. Let's rip out all the bathtubs. So we wanted to find out more about this because there are a lot of people like Allie who just will have none of it.
No.
Same.
But you're going to have to take that up with his Majesty. King Carl Gustav is on the phone with us right now on K-Rock. Hello, Your Highness. How are you?
Hey, how are you today? Good to talk to you.
Well,
hey, it's been a pleasure to talk to you again after we saw each other that one time.
Oh, you remember that, Your Highness. That's very kind.
I always
yes.
tell my friends, you know, Bean from the K-Rock, I actually saw him in a person one time.
Well, I did just applaud for you. We didn't actually have any interaction.
I applaud back to you.
Well, you're very kind, Your Highness. You're very kind. So I want to make sure that we're not misinterpreting your comments. You did suggest that bathtubs perhaps should be banned. We should imagine that. You said it's the small details that have an enormous effect.
That's right.
What's that buzzing?
All these flies are around me. I don't know why. All the flies and seagulls are flying everywhere. He's dead. It's so crazy. You know, you stop taking baths for a few months.
Right.
And next thing you know, you have new friends.
You said a few months?
Yeah, I did say in a few months, yeah.
So you're not taking baths or showers? There's no washing going on?
No, it's a horrible waste of water and energy when you have to heat the water and fill the bathtub.
Right.
Or you have to heat the water in the shower with the fresh water running down the drain.
Right. But I would think that the two things that you should always be using water for, no matter how scarce it is, are drinking and bathing.
Well, drinking, yes, for sure. But the bathing, I just realized when I went to that hotel in a soggy bathtub,
right,
that there was horrible waste of all the water and energy of the bathing. Mm-hmm. We should all just be natural the way it was intended by nature.
So you're going to go to France and tell them to shower less and not take baths in France.
Yeah, I will say, hey, French people, you always smell so good with all your smelling good. Why don't you just stop with all the personal hygiene?
Now, that seems like it would be very uncomfortable for those around you. What kind of reaction are you getting from your family and colleagues?
Well, they all text me that they think I'm smelling good.
They text you that?
Yeah, they wave, you know, from across the royal palace.
Right, but the people that you hang out with that are around you?
Well, there's less of them than there used to be.
Uh-huh. How about your family, then?
They're on vacation.
For about 2 months?
They went to a garbage heap, which I found surprising. Whoa. I said, doesn't that smell bad? And they said, nope, we're used to it. And sometimes I can even clear out an IKEA when I go there to get my furniture.
Wow.
And right. Those meatballs are so good on the little toothpicks.
Right.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So far so good. You think this is the wave of the future then?
I say stink for Earth is my motto.
Stink for Earth.
Yes, everybody stink it up. That means you too, ladies.
No, I don't think any lady is going to do that.
Oh, please. It's not going to change your romance life one little bit, lady.
How dare you, King.
How do you know?
How dare you?
I met Bean once in person, and he told me about her.
So she should continue taking a bath.
Sure.
Okay.
All right, good. So the weekend after next, you guys, is the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2015, which I think is the 26th year in a row of this concert. It's at the Forum now, December 12th and 13th, completely sold out. But we have tickets and backstage passes to night number 2 right now. This is Chris Cornell and L. King and Fall Out Boy and James Bay and The Neighborhood and so much more. We're playing a game this time around that we like to call Total Recall.
Total Recall, that's the game that we play. If you want tickets to
the latest in a long line of games that I am convinced I would do terrible at. How about you, Allie? How would you do playing this game?
I think I'd do great, and then I tried it in my car once. Not good.
Yeah.
Not good at all.
And don't even ask me. You know the answer to that.
It's, on paper, it's pretty easy because the categories are fairly wide open. We just ask you to name 5 things in 10 seconds. That's the problem. The 10 seconds is what screws you up. But do the best you can. Let's meet our first contestant. Who we got, Kevin?
All right. We have Chris from Whittier. Hi there.
Hey, what it do, Kevin and Bean? Hi, Allie.
What it do, hey, indeed. Hey, Chris. Glad you're up early and joining us this morning. So I'm going to give you a category, and you're going to try to come up with 5 in 10 seconds, okay? George Ezra is one of the artists you'll be seeing if you win these tickets for night number 2. He is best known for his big song here on K-Rock called Budapest, which is the capital of Hungary. Your category is, in 10 seconds, can you name 5 other capital cities that are not in the United States? 5 cities that are the capitals of their countries. Good luck.
Sydney, Istanbul, Moscow, Beijing.
You got four, I think. I'm sorry. There's London and Paris and Mexico City and Stockholm, and you'll be thinking about them all day long today. But you did really well, by the way. Isn't it curious? You came up with Istanbul was one of the first ones on your lips.
Just Turkey and Hungary and all that.
So. Sure. Oh. Very impressive. All right.
Well, I thought he meant he was hungry, not Turkey and Hungary. Okay.
I don't know. Maybe he did. I don't know. Who was jigging and buzzing, by the way? Because that
was
done.
Chip, and I don't know why.
There were two dings.
Yeah, what happened, Chip? He was given answers.
Yeah, you know.
Right. All right. Chris was a great contestant. Who's up next, though?
By the way, hey, you know, is a great answer. Yeah. Stephanie in Glendale. Good morning.
Good morning.
All right, Stephanie, a lot of people are very excited to see the band Cold War Kids at night number two of Acoustic Christmas. That is a band whose name references the undeclared war between the United States and the Soviet Union that lasted for decades. Here's your category. In 10 seconds, can you name me five other wars that America has been involved in? Looking for five wars throughout U.S. history in 10 seconds. Good luck.
Oh, my gosh. World War One, World War...
The other ones?
The other ones, exactly.
This is why this game is...
This
is why this game is hard, because if you weren't on a clock, you would have thought of Vietnam, Korea, Desert Storm, the Revolutionary War, the Civil War. I mean, there's a lot of them, but thanks for playing anyway.
Thank you.
Wow, tough game.
All right, let's go to Tony in Paramount. Hi.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey.
Tony, how are you feeling about your chances here today, buddy?
Dude, this is sounding tougher than it sounded when I started. So,
all right, here we go. Up next, X's and O's is maybe the biggest song on K-Rock right now. It's by the very talented singer L. King. Now, some people might be surprised to know that L's father is Rob Schneider, the comedian and actor, friend of the Kevin and Bean Show. Here's your category. Can you name me five movies that Rob Schneider has been in 10 seconds? Five Rob Schneider movies, go.
Grown Ups 1, Grown Ups 2, Big Daddy, damn it, I'm drawing a blank.
Dang it. I was rooting for you. There's Hot Chick, Deuce Bigelow, The Water Boy, 51st Dates.
He came up with three. You didn't
he
blow
came
it.
Out strong.
You came up with three of them.
You did.
That's rough. Thank you for calling. All right. No one's going.
Sounds like
it. Is that what's happening? Let's go to Brad in Roland Heights. Good morning, Brad.
Hello.
All right, Brad.
Hi, Fred Schneider. As you know, The Neighborhood is also on the bill for night number two. You're playing to win tickets here. Kevin Bean's Total Recall. There are a lot of neighborhoods in Southern California. In fact, so many that it should not be difficult for you to name five Southern California cities in 10 seconds. Five Southern California cities in 10 seconds. Good luck.
North Hollywood, Reseda, Encino, Los Angeles, Brentwood, Roland Heights.
I believe we have a guy who named enough.
Nicely done. All right, you're in the drawing. You're the only one in the drawing so far.
I love that he named his city last.
He was saving it.
Impressive.
All right, let's go to Jason in Los Angeles. Hi, Jason.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Jason, how you been doing playing on hold while you've been listening?
Getting a little nervous. Wish I would have gotten that war question. Would have knocked that one out.
Yep. Okay. All right, let's see how you do. One of the best live acts on the bill for night number two is Panic at the Disco. We are very excited to see them again. Their unusual name reminds me of one of the most popular genres in music history, disco. Many of those classic songs are so popular, they are still played at parties and weddings every single weekend across this land of ours. Name for me any five disco songs in 10 seconds. Five disco songs in 10 seconds. Good luck, sir.
Funky Town, I Will Survive, Night Fever, Boogie Wonderland, Disco Inferno, Don't Leave Me This Way.
Ladies and gentlemen! That's unbelievable!
Let's do it!
Wow, Rick Dees, well done!
He named like 20 of them in 2 seconds!
Come on!
You're incredible!
That was the best ever!
That was pretty impressive.
Passes for that.
Well, you're going to drawing, impressive. Unfortunately, with Brad. So hold on. That was something.
How are we time-wise? You want to play one more or you want to just do the drawing here?
We can do one more. I'd like to get three in the drawing.
Let's do one more.
All right. Let's go to James in Moreno Valley. Hi.
Hi. Good morning.
All right, James, you ready for Boogie Oogie Oogie? Let's see how you do here. One of the newer acts on night two is Andrew McMahon and the Wilderness. Speaking of the wilderness and the great outdoors, can you name for me five things that you might find inside a national park? Think of a national park and name five things that you would see in there if you visited. Good luck, sir.
Trees, geyser, rivers, streams, lakes.
I think that might be five. Glacier? All right, there you go. You made it for sure. Was that snakes? Is that what you said was snakes?
I think you said lakes.
You said lakes.
No. Lakes, okay.
He also said rivers and streams.
I'm not sure.
I thought it was well played. Same. You are in the drawing for night number two of the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas, along with, Brad and with James and with everybody. I don't know. I lost track. Who's our winner, please, Allie?
The winner is Jason.
The winner
is
Jason.
Our disco crazy guy. Congratulations. You got tickets and backstage passes for night number two. And thanks for playing.
That is awesome, guys. Thank you.
Thanks for playing the game. I'd say top five. I'd say top five Christmas songs of all time.
Makes me so happy.
Don't try it at karaoke, though, because it has almost 500 words in it, Christmas rapping, and there's no way you'll ever get it right. That is...
How do you know that?
Oh, I think we know how he knows it.
Come on, Kevin. Hey, welcome to Kevin and Bean Show. We've got a big show for you today, including our friend Kevin Smith is going to be joining us next hour, and a lot of excitement around the building about the about Hawkman stopping by today. You know, Hawkman is going to be on the show. Actor Falk Henschnell is going to be joining us in studio in the 8 o'clock hour as well. We're very much looking forward to that.
Plus, Miss Double December. We've got...
I mean, yeah.
What? What's that? What the hell?
What? You do not get to talk to Falk Henschel.
Oh, no.
Oh. Roland. What? Stop making that noise.
That's my hawk cry.
That hurts.
You know what hurts?
What?
Having Falk Henschel, thespian extraordinaire.
Right.
Modern incarnation of the legendary superhero Hawkman.
Right.
Interviewed by the likes of Bean. That's what hurts. That hurts the soul.
Well, I mean, I'm not as familiar with the character as you are, Roland.
Not as familiar with the character as I am.
Right, but I'm
have not even a passing knowledge of the legend of Hawkman, sir. I would say unto thee, nay.
What are you basing that on, Roland?
Well, I was listening to your little dog and pony show yesterday.
Uh-huh.
In anticipation. I like to line up and be first.
Right.
So I wanted to be first in line to listen to Falk Henschel on the show.
Mm-hmm. So okay. You started listening yesterday?
Started listening yesterday.
Okay, all right.
And what to my wondering ears should appear but your heinous ignorance when it comes to Hawkman. Please play Exhibit 1.
Hawkman is a thing? He's a thing? It's not
no,
a new...
Bean. Hawkman is coming in to say he's not a thing.
He's not a thing. He's a cloud.
No, what I mean by
he's
that
a formation
is...
formation in the clouds.
He is a comic book superhero that has a history. He's not a new creation
Jesus.
For the TV shows.
Hawkman's
right?
only been around, I think, since 1940.
Thank God for Ralph Garman. Thank God for him.
Right?
Because he is absolutely right. Hawkman has been part of the DC Universe since 1940... In Flash Comics, number one since his first appearance, created, of course, by the legendary writer Gardner Fox and artist Dennis Neville.
You have a lot more in common with Ralph than you realize. You know that, Roland?
Well, I know we have one thing in common. We know who the hell Hawkman is.
All right, so maybe there's a history with the character.
I don't know if you heard me. 1940!
Okay, all right.
Okay, so history, okay.
So it's on me if I haven't been brought up to speed on Hawkman.
How do you know that the reincarnation of ancient Egyptian Prince Khufu Carter Hall discovered that mysterious Enfa metal that allowed him to negate the effects of Earth's gravity, allowing him to fly.
Wait, there's an Egyptian named Carter?
There's an Egyptian prince named Khufu.
Oh.
And he is reincarnated into Carter Hall.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Wow. Okay.
Yeah, you lost me, too. I'm sorry. I confess I did not know that plot point.
Oh!
But, Roland, is that the kind of thing that we need to bring up when we have him in?
Yes, because... fuck will be playing Carter Hall, the reincarnated Egyptian prince Khufu.
Right.
Oh, okay.
On Legends of Tomorrow and also in the magical Flash Green Arrow crossover, which began last night, which was an amazing. So they've already had Shiera Saunders, his reincarnated bride, already on the show, and now they've been reunited to battle Vandal Savage, the immortal one.
This sounds like a lot for me to keep track of for the interview.
Well, here's what you should do. Kill yourself.
Well, that's
rolling.
That's extreme.
No, just take yourself out of the mix. It might be easier for everyone. I just want to hear Kevin interview him. Because Kevin can keep this stuff straight.
Thank you, Roland, finally.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 649.
By the way, speaking of the Killers, Ralph Garman brought us the news yesterday that on World AIDS Day once again this year, December 1st, Killers released a new Christmas song. So if you like that band, you might want to head on over to iTunes and buy yourself a copy with the proceeds going to a great charity, the Red Charity. So there you go. Your friend Kevin Smith is going to be joining us at the top of the hour, Ralph.
Yeah, he is. I miss my podcast husband. I haven't seen
you guys haven't done as much Babylon as usual.
This month was nuts. With the Thanksgiving holiday and also with Kevin traveling and me traveling. So we did one early in November, and then we have one this Friday night at the Improv on Melrose. We're doing Hollywood Babylon, bringing it back after about a month.
No.
10 p.m., improv.com.
No.
To get your tickets. And then there's only one more in 2 weeks before the year is out, and then that's it until January.
You know, no.
So.
Not even Rodney.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Anyway, Kevin Smith joins us. Just after the top of the hour. First, though, Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat on a Wednesday morning. What else is going on?
I listened to your little friend Roland talk to you.
He was very upset.
Look, I'm not as big a geek as he is, but brother's got a point.
Well, he loves you as well.
But did you see the beginning of the Flash Arrow crossover last night?
I did not see that.
Whew.
No.
It was awesome. Awesome.
They were like, ooh, I'm a Flash. And then Arrow's like, ooh, phew. It's great.
That's a good recap. Let's save that and play it for folk.
No, because Shiera Saunders is dating Cisco Ramon, and he vibes on her and realizes that she has a metahuman aspect to herself that she's not even aware of. And so she has to emerge because she is reincarnated from the priestess Shiera. From ancient Egyptian times, she has to find her inner Hawk Girl. And she can only do that by jumping off a skyscraper.
Nerd alert! Nerd alert! Wait, she doesn't know yet that she's Hawk Girl?
Right! Right!
But everyone else does?
Well, no, Carter Hall does, because he emerged first. He connected to his reincarnated past before she did. But they are soulmates, so they are destined to be together in every life that they take.
So he already knows that
he's
with her.
Hawkman comes down to say, hey, yo, what's up?
Is that what he said?
Yeah. Okay. She's like, I don't even know who you are. He's like, yes, you will as soon as you emerge, as soon as your past life comes to the forefront.
And she's like, you're weird.
Right. And he goes, well, let me help you. And he pushes her off the building. Spoilers.
A little late for that.
Sorry about that. Anyway, it was very exciting for an old school geek like myself to see Flash and Green Arrow and Hawkman and Hawk Girl all together in the same live action television program. Exciting times.
I'm sorry, I don't speak geek.
By the way, there was a 15 minute argument yesterday after the show where Ralph was correcting our pronunciation of Hawkman.
Yeah.
Which you just said right.
Say it again.
Hawkman.
No,
Hawkman.
They said it wrong.
It's Hawkman.
First time you said it right.
Okay.
It's not Hawkman.
It's Hawkman.
No, Hawkman is a guy who spits loogies everywhere. That's Hawkman.
Hawkman.
He's hawking up a loogie.
Okay.
How do you say it?
Hawkman.
Hawk.
Hawkman.
Do we have to say it that
listen,
dumb?
Listen, it's
Hawk.
Not dumb. It's a difference between H-O-C-K and H-A-W-K.
So
Hawkman.
Is Hawk your John?
It's not Hawk. You don't have to tell you're from Jersey, but it is Hawk.
So it's H-W-A-K is how we're supposed to say it, according to Ralph. Walk.
No.
Right?
Listen, what's the show that Dick Wolf produces with all the lawyers and the cops and everything about criminals and stuff?
Law and Order.
Law and Order.
Law.
Uh-huh.
Law and Order. You,
law don't,
say,
and
you
order.
Don't say Law and Order, right?
Law and Order.
No, you say Law and Order.
You say Law.
You say Law.
Law and Order.
You say Law and Order.
Law.
Law.
Okay.
Law.
Law.
And Order.
Right. And Order.
So Law.
Right.
Think Haw.
Right.
And then add a K.
Hawk.
No!
Oh!
You're hawking again. Hawk.
Hawk.
Law. Law.
Uh-huh.
Haw. Hawk. Hawkman.
Hawkman.
Hawk.
Hey!
Yes?
It's a miracle.
I don't know what we're yelling about!
It's a Christmas miracle. Anyway. Falk Henschel.
Yes.
Oh, geez.
Not Falk Henschel.
Oh, no,
no, true.
Falk Henschel will be on the show in about an hour. And I'm looking forward to meeting him and talking to him because he was really good in the show last night. It was his first appearance and he was very impressive. So, the reason I wanted to bring that up. I also want to bring up Bono. He's a good dude with a great sense of humor. We were talking about the Red charity just moments ago, and Bean was mentioning that the Killers have released their Christmas single in support of that AIDS charity. Red is doing an event called the AIDS-Free Generation, where they're trying to raise money to eradicate AIDS in our lifetime. And Bono is giving away a special prize with a minimum donation of, excuse me, $10. You get basically a raffle ticket. Where if you win, you get to go on a bike ride through New York Central Park.
What?
Come on. What? That's funny, right?
Thank you.
And you get hit by a semi?
No.
How does that end?
It's just a leisurely bike ride through Central Park with Bono.
He wears a helmet, though, right?
A, that's a terrible idea.
It's a great idea.
And B, that sure does show he has a sense of humor.
Right. Because it did injure his left arm for life.
Oh, my God.
That accident. So he is willing to get back on a bike in Central Park to raise money for this cause, and I think he's a swell dude. You can go to omaze, omaze.com/Bono if you'd like to buy your $10 raffle ticket and take a leisurely bike ride with Bono.
I'd say, Bono, you go on ahead. I'm going to be about 20 feet behind.
I would bring him a unicycle. I'd say, step up your game, son. See what you can do now. Just take him out. Big rumors this week about the new Leonardo DiCaprio movie, Revenant. Have you seen Revenant?
I've not.
Have you seen the trailer for Revenant?
I haven't.
Yeah. Looks exhausting.
It looks intense.
Yeah.
It is done by, name is escaping me, who is the Birdman director? Inarritu, right?
Yes, that's correct.
He is the director of this film as well. It's an old-timey revenge tale about Leonardo DiCaprio, who is a sort of a settler type back in the olden times. And he gets assaulted by a bear while he's with his party, and they don't really want to deal with him being injured and whatnot, so they leave him for dead and they bury him.
Hmm. What?
Spoilers, not dead.
He got buried alive.
So he comes back and he is PO'd,
as
they say. So big rumor this week that in the movie, the Drudge Report, you gotta love the Drudge Report, they report on Tuesday that Leonardo DiCaprio's character gets raped by the bear in the woods.
That's what he says?
That's what the report said, yes. So now Fox has to release a statement saying, the bear in the film is a female who attacks Hugh Glass, Leonardo DiCaprio's character, because she feels he might be threatening her cubs. There is clearly no rape scene with a bear. Wow. I'm glad we cleared that up, that Leonardo DiCaprio is not raped by a bear in the woods in the new movie.
Why do people go so far out of their way to try and be offended?
I don't know.
Why does that happen?
Anyway, you can see for yourself when the movie opens on January the 8th. But according to Fox, they have put that rumor to rest. There is no bear rape.
That looks like the most difficult movie experience of filming anyone has ever had. What
That's
Leonardo
what
DiCaprio
I was
went through.
It looks cold and wet. And you also get raped by a bear.
That's not the point.
I read the Drudge Report.
Right. Right,
bear
that's
rape.
Wrong. You just corrected it.
It's not a grizzly bear. It's a Cosby bear, apparently, is the kind of bear they use in the movie. So it's true. It happened.
It didn't happen.
And I'm not going. I'm going to boycott for no good reason. Maybe we should do a call-in topic someday of the band you loved when you were young that you're most embarrassed by.
I bet everyone has one.
Sure.
Fascinating interview with Jimmy Fallon on Monday night with Pink, who confessed that she, when she was 7 years old, was the biggest New Kids on the Block fan in history, called the boy band's 900 number. Remember 900 numbers?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Back in the olden time, kids, before the internets, in order to get your phone sex on or to get facts about your favorite boy band, whatever, you would have to call a 1-900 phone number.
And that charged you, didn't it?
That was the thing. It was like fine print thing. Oh, it's just $5.99 a minute. What? Nothing.
Hey,
call up. Enjoy the new kids.
Ralph, that's how I used to get sports scores sometimes, was calling a 900 number.
So she loved that band so much, she racked up in 1 month a phone bill of $118 of new kids calls.
Wow.
She said her mother was not pleased.
Look, she was just the right age to fall in love with New Kids on the Block. It's not her fault.
Yeah, it
That's
is
what
her
those
fault.
Bands are designed for.
They're freaking New Kids on the Block.
But there are kids already who are embarrassed they loved Justin Bieber, you know, because
as
that
well
was just
they should be.
Time in their life.
Limp Bizkit.
Yeah, exactly.
Today's celebrity birthday is Lucy Luce, 47 years old today, as is Foo Fighters bassist Nate Mendel. Nelly Furtado is 37. Britney Spears is 34. And Aaron Rodgers, QB for the Green Bay Packers. Relax. Remember when he said that?
No.
You don't remember that?
When did he say relax?
Last season when they were off to a horrible start. Everybody said the Green Bay Packers are done or whatever. And he went on the radio and said, R-E-L-A-X. Relax, everybody. And they went on to a great season. And now everyone's saying, panic! He's got on the radio, panic, everybody! He's 32. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Kevin Smith. Welcome back to the Kevin Beat Show, my friend.
Hey, everybody. Look, before we start talking about me, which, let's be honest, that's my favorite subject.
Sure.
I got to talk about one of my second favorite subjects in the world. And since Ralph's here, we got to address it. Did you watch Flash last night?
Oh, my God.
Oh, my Lord. There was a moment on Flash where on television, in this world we live in, not even on Earth 2 or something, you saw Flash, Green Arrow, and Hawkman all fighting each other.
Yes.
It's like watching your childhood come to life.
I was saying the exact same thing minutes ago.
Were you talking about the same page?
Yes.
Oh, my Lord. It was glorious. That dude's coming in?
Yes.
That might be the first guest I actually stick around to be like, you were awfully good as Hawkman, sir.
He had the mace, dude.
Yes. The old school, the antique fighting armaments of Aquaman or of Hawkman were in full force last night.
I'll be honest with you, man. Like, my wife turns me on, but this,
yeah.
Seeing live really, action that's Hawkman with a mace.
There was a moment in the show last night where they're in the Arrow Cave, and Barry Allen and Oliver Queen are standing next to each other, and two doors swing open, and inside there are their costumes waiting for them to put them on.
Yes.
And they just do sort of a take to each other and look back at the costume. It's like, it's the Brave and Bold come to life.
And that's when my jeans went white.
Oh,
it was nuts.
No. Terrible expression.
It was, what are you talking about? That's as clean as I can express it. Yeah, I was drinking milk and I was, holy.
That's the best way to say it ever.
Oh, it was glorious, man. They're doing the Lord's work on that show.
They are.
Dude, seriously.
You're lucky to have lived long enough to be in a world where that is possible.
I'm not kidding. I know some people are like, what about when they cure disease? I'm like, yeah, but this. And they make it work. It looks realistic. That's the crazy thing.
Well, listen, you have so much going on right now, Mr. Smith. Where do you want to start? What do you want to talk about?
How about this? Ralph and I are going to Sundance.
Yeah, that's huge. Yeah, congratulations.
That is huge. Thank
you. So you were 23 years old the first time you went to Sundance with a movie. That was a film called Clerks. Have you been back since?
No, and I haven't stopped talking about that movie either since. I've lived off that movie. Yeah, I've been back many times. I think this will be my 11th time at Sundance, but with a movie, this will only be with a movie I directed. This would only be the fourth. Clerks was in competition in 94. Then I went back with Chasing Amy as a premiere in 97. Mm-hmm. And then Sundance premiere of Red State in 2011. I was very vocal. And then this year with Yoga Hosers for Midnight. First time I've ever had a movie.
Now, Ralph's playing a little coy with the date and his hotel information and stuff, but we want to know, like,
yeah,
where do you want us
should
to...
Should we fly out Thursday?
They're all asking when they should fly out.
I'm hoping first weekend-ish is what I'm hearing in the wind. Yeah.
Right.
Stuff.
So, but we'll get back to you. But
you don't want him there?
Sure.
But should we fly in Thursday and then just have the whole weekend?
Just to be safe?
Dude, this is your moment. Bring an entourage.
And are we staying in your room?
I would wait till the very last minute because it's easy to get flights and hotels.
I would have thought
a lot of people
it's
do.
Simple.
But just wait. Just wait. Okay. When I get there, I'll call you.
Okay.
Why don't you want him to go?
You know, great question.
Because you want him to buy tickets? They'll do that too.
No, they won't.
Yes, we will.
If I could collect $20 a pop from all these cats, and can they go to the premiere for free? So that you'll feel better about it?
I won't feel better about it. That's what I'm saying.
You guys should be there, and here's why, man. The movie, honestly, stars two little girls, and it's kind of their coming out party.
Right.
But really, it's a backdoor party,
what?
Which sounds very sexy.
Go on.
For Ralph Garman's coming out as well.
Right.
A debutante ball for Ralph. Like, Ralph steals the screen. I know.
We have expected Ralph to come out for years.
I know.
So gratified
and this is the movie.
Zing!
There it is. It is. He crushes. It's crazy. Well, it's anybody who listens to this show is not going to be surprised.
You're nice.
But at the same time, anybody who listens to this show is going to be like, oh, Lord, finally, somebody used him correctly.
It's rough going toe-to-toe with Johnny Depp, right?
Yes. Like, that's nuts. Go for the third act alone, which is two actors chewing the scenery around each other to the point where all you can see are cameras and crew going, like, clapping, stunned, going, now that's acting.
We did eat all the scenery.
It's crazy fun. The movie's crazy. I don't even know how to, like, what genre to put it in. It's weird. Like, to me, this is the movie I wanted to see back when I was a 12-year-old girl.
Right.
But that, I don't know if you could sell a movie like that, you know? It's kind of like
it's for the
Clueless.
12-year-old girl in everyone.
Very much so. Yeah. It's Clueless meets Gremlins. Very empowering.
Does it make it more special because your daughter's in it?
Honestly, more because Ralph's in it. Yes, of course. Of course. Like, I got to direct my kid, which is, like, I don't even get to do that at home. You know, yeah. I'm like, put that in the sink. She's like, no. And that's it. But on a set, I could be like, put that in the sink like you mean it. And then she does it during a take, and I'm like, look, I'm in control. No,
it
she's
helps
wonderful.
That she's great in it,
yeah,
too.
She's, she really is a natural. Her and Lily Rose are the two stars in the movie. They play, they're kind of like Nancy Drew, but as the Hardy Boys in Canada.
Right.
I'm not selling it. Okay. People are like,
we're
Hardy Boys.
This pitch.
Yeah, there's got to be something. I'm like, it's like Pitch Perfect 3. Maybe that'll translate to the kids. But they do say it. So it is kind of like Pitch Perfect 3. Yeah.
Now, what's the process of this? You go to Sundance, you try to get a distributor. Yes. Is that the thing? So when might we see it in the theaters?
Well, within this calendar year of 2016. Okay. Hopefully, the aim would be within the first quarter of Sundance. That's what I would hope, because what you like to do is debut up there. Hopefully, people say whatever they say. Hopefully, nice things, but I'm sure people are going to be like, you and F you before, now F you and your kid. You know? Which is like, well, welcome to the family.
How old is your daughter, Kevin?
She's 16. But
how do you feel about her if she decides she wants to be an actor?
I love her very much. Why?
How am I supposed to feel about her? That question.
If she decides she wants to be an actress and make it in Hollywood, how do you feel about that as a career choice?
I'm all for it. I kind of, you know, made it a little more possible. Like, she was in Tusk.
As long as you keep making movies, she'll have a career.
Absolutely. Hopefully somebody else goes, hey. Yeah, same thing, man. Yeah. Her and Lily Rose were in this scene in Tusk, Harley and Lily Rose, and they were so natural and good that I was like, you know, and I'm such a stoner now that I chase whimsy, where it's like, normally you have ideas, you're like, you know, it'd be cool, and then you just kind of let them go because we all think we're stupid and we all think somebody else has done this before. But when you're stoned, you're bold enough to be like, I'm not stupid. This is the smartest thing
this
ever.
This is a great idea.
That's where Tusk came from, the Walrus movie. So based on that, I was sitting there going, it'd be really fun to take these two characters and make like a YouTube short. And then I was like, well, why a YouTube short? What if I made a whole movie? As long as you keep the budget low. It's not like you're going in someplace going, give me $20 million and make a movie with my kid who's never acted before. As long as you keep your budget low and make the movie weird enough, like, honestly, I know it seems like a world where all they try to make are sequel and remakes because those are profitable, but people still value originality. They'll still take a gamble on it. Maybe a studio won't, but private investors will, small distributors will. And so you keep the budget low, and we made this weird movie about these two girls that are kind of detectives / superheroes who are just not interested in the world. They have their faces and their phones all the time, who fight Canadian Nazis who come up from under the earth. And I play a Bratzi, which is a one-foot-tall, sentient Canadian Nazi made of bratwurst.
What is okay. happening right
all
now?
Right.
I'm happens. In full makeup. It's
Kevin's
nuts.
Gone it bye crazy. Bye. Are you high right now?
Not at all. not to sell this.
And we're all going to stay in your room?
Yes, you
around
can totally stay.
And less about night. The accommodations and more about the film, I think.
You need to be there. Okay. You need to watch this moment. Mm-hmm. This is the moment Ralph ascends. Now, what he ascends to, I'm not sure. People might be like, well, there goes somebody who just gave up all chances at a career.
That's right.
Ascending to the pantheon of other careers
I hope
I've
you enjoyed
wrote.
Making that film, because that's probably the one he'll do.
Or well, ascend least, to the point where people are like, hey, let's cast this guy.
I might get
something.
An award. I'm yes. just saying. It could happen.
At least you got to be in a movie with a talking sausage. At least that finally happened.
Brought worst.
Thank oh, sorry.
Yeah,
all right. Kevin Smith is here, director, producer, writer, actor, author, podcaster, and the co-host of Hollywood Babylon, by the way, which is coming back to the Hollywood Improv this Friday night at 10 p.m. More with our guests right after this on K-Rock. I just picture a world where Kevin Smith has a dentist emergency or a doctor's appointment where he's not allowed to talk. And I think what that would do to him if he had to, like, be one of those guys who is on complete vocal rest for a day.
That is my you know, whenever I have to deal with somebody who's got an addiction or something like that, and they're like, that'd be like you giving up food. I'm like, that's not the proper analogy. If you want to talk about something that is absolutely inessential that doesn't require, you know, I don't need it to be alive, but I act as if I do. You want me to give up something like that, it would be podcasting. Like, that's something that is absolutely inessential, but I spend an inordinate amount of my work week doing that. So yes. That's so much so that I read a tweet the other day where somebody said, you are too stoned because you spoke about this same thing on an episode. I do a podcast with Matt Myra called Talk Salad and Scrambled Eggs, which is Frasier Reconsidered. All we do is provide unasked for commentary tracks for the entire run of Frasier. We're on a season two right now. That's the beauty of podcasting, kids. That's a show.
It's just, that's nonsense, and I love it.
And you can make that, that show. If you've ever been sitting there going, like, I always wanted to do a commentary track for Small Wonder. That show about the little robot girl. You could do that. So we do that show. Somebody said, I listened to that show. You've repeated something you talked about on a previous episode, so clearly you're smoking too much weed and your memory shot. And I thought about that for a second, going like, oh my God, they just released a study talking about, like,
what if he's right?
Skunk and white matter in the brain. I was like, what if he's right? But then I realized it has nothing to do with being a stoner. It has everything to do with I speak so often on in so many different platforms.
Right.
And I'm not saying it's good talk, but like, I talk so much. I'm on 6 podcasts a week, so that's like minimum an hour each, if not 2 hours, plus all the other talking I do. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not about weed that I forget things. It's like, I talk so much, sometimes I'm like, did I just say that? Like,
you don't
when
know
I do back
to
back shows
in front of 5,000 people.
Exactly. And sometimes, like, when I'm on stage, I'm doing back to back shows, like, I'll do a Q&A, I'll be in the middle of a story and I'll be in the second show and be like, wait a second. Did I set this up properly? Am I remembering this from the previous show? And again, it's not like because of weed. It's because I just talk so much like at this point. And I'm not complaining. I love it. Like, that's why I'm here on this earth, to spit out as much as I can. Not all of it's valuable. Something might find something useful in it. Some things might make you chuckle. But, like, why not spit it out as much as you can while you were here? Like, this is the opportunity.
Talk Salad and Scrambled Eggs, Frasier Reconsidered. You're doing that live in Pasadena at the Ice House on Saturday.
We are.
You show the episode and then just chime in along the way, kind of
Mystery Science
Theater sort
We
of?
Don't even do that live because you can't, you know, say, like, hey, come watch Frasier and sell tickets to it. That would be illegal. Paramount would be like, hey, we'll take that money. So we watch the show. The audience doesn't even see it. Volume's turned down. We just talk through the whole thing. If you've never listened to the podcast, we spend a lot of time not talking about Frasier. Like, the first hour is really about Terminator, and then we do 2 episodes of Frasier. And during the Frasier episodes, we talk about the brilliance of the show and how incredibly firecrafted it was and how unappreciated and forgotten it is now. Like, yeah, it's in heavy rotation on adult channels. Not adult, the fun adult channels, but,
right.
You know, like Hallmark, whatever. Our point is, like, a kid would dig this show. They just need to be led into it. Like, I remember when it was on when I was younger. I was like, this is snobby, and this sounds like medicine. But it wasn't. That's the two characters. Under It was, like, one of the most brilliant sitcoms ever made. So we spend a lot of time appreciating Frasier, but we also spend a lot of time talking about everything else. There's one other Frasier podcast in the world. And those
you
guys,
have a competition?
Can you imagine? And they went first. But they're irritated by us because, like, you don't really talk about Frasier. And we're like, well, that's kind of the point, dude. That's the joke of the show.
They're upset at you for not talking enough about a show.
About Frasier, about an old show. But that podcast, we do that all the time at home. We've taken it live once before. It was so fun. We did it in Seattle, the home of Frasier. So now we're doing it at the Ice House in Pasadena on Saturday.
Kevin, did Ralph tell you about the day we had on the guy who does a podcast about Steve Guttenberg's movies?
What's it called? Good job?
No, it should be.
It should be.
Oh, come on.
What is it called?
The Goot Actor? The gootest actor in Hollywood?
Goot to the Max or something like that?
I don't remember, but we were fascinated that that's what he was doing the entire podcast
every
about.
Every podcast is about in chronological niche. Order, it's every film, television appearance of Steve Guttenberg.
Matt does the guy that I do Talk Salad with does another podcast called James Bonding, where all they do is talk about the James Bond movies, and they stop when they run out of material. So now they're waiting for the next movie. Now that Spectre's just come out.
How many seasons of Frasier were there?
I guess 12, 11.
Well, I was going to say 11, 12.
It'll be easy for a long time.
Well, yeah, we did the math. If we do 2 episodes, because that's what we do, 2 commentary tracks per episode, generally speaking, it's something like we're doing this for 2 years. It's like Star Trek. There's a 5-year mission, and it has an end. That's the thing. It's like you look at Serial. Remember when this is the thing we never built into Babylon. A season or an end. When you start, when you turn on the podcast machine,
right?
And I encourage everybody to do it. Free platform. Nobody going to stop you. They don't charge you to do it. And send it to Apple. They'll send you an email back going, congratulations, you're a broadcaster. And you are. Suddenly you're that thing. But in a world, man, where you could now I hit a pothole. What was I just talking about in my preamble?
You said a built-in end game for like a season.
Season.
Yes. Of podcast.
Once you turn on the podcast machine.
That was weed, right?
That was definitely weed right there. Okay. Once you turn on the podcast machine, you don't really stop because everybody goes, okay, I want the next one. It's free. It's funny, blah, blah. You hope it's funny. Serial, that podcast, they were the first ones to figure out like, oh, let's just do a season.
Right.
Like it's an enclosed story and then we'll do another season. And I'm like, man, that would be the way to go. Like you end your season and then start something else. But we do it differently. On Babylon, we almost never stop. We stopped for the last 3 weeks because we the schedule.
Travel things, yeah.
But generally, we go all the time.
After Frasier, are you going to go with Alf? What's your next?
I think my next would be Roseanne. I'm a huge Roseanne fan. I could probably talk about that show endlessly.
And that's another show that people is not top of mind for people anymore.
Yeah. And
people
it's
don't
what some people want to expose to some kids. Like when I was a kid, they reran Lucy ad nauseum in black and white. And you know, it was expert craftspeople working at the height of their craft at that time. But for a kid, it's like, come on. Oh, my Lord, aren't all these people dead now? This is sad.
Turn the conveyor belt off and stop the chocolate.
Yes,
it's simple.
Exactly. Although that's where I did learn how wine gets made.
That's right.
That grossed me out.
Christine looked it up for us, by the way. We had Mr. Nate Sellers on the show. He is the co-host of Gotta Love the
Goot.
That's which is the name of the podcast.
That's pretty good.
Sounds like something you'll be listening to on the way out of the station.
I would
today,
call it
Gotta Love the Goot.
Goot Vibrations.
Hey, you're good at naming things. What
would you call
the Roseanne one?
The Roseanne one? Boy, let me see.
Raising the Bar?
Wow, you're better than me. That was really good, man.
I'm inspired.
Why don't you guys just kiss?
If any of our listeners decide to start a podcast as a result of this conversation, can they contact you to name it?
Yeah, oh, my Lord. Oh, go to me on Twitter. Give me your content. I'll totally name it
for you.
It's
so funny. When we were in this very room and we decided that we were going to do a podcast based on entertainment and pop culture news, Kevin and I were going to sit down and just talk about that 5.5 years ago when we did it. We decided to do it here while he was in guesting talking about something.
Right.
And by the time he got to the parking lot, I got a text with the title of the podcast. Okay. He said, let's call it Hollywood Babble On. Boom. That's how he works.
It was pretty sweet. I remember that, too. And yeah. I remember you're like, oh, what? That was great. Like the praise, the right. We that's our relationship foundation, mutual praise.
That's right.
Nice. That's how you got to deal with people. Kids like, I think you're awesome, Nug. I think you're awesome.
You too. We're let's like be awesome together.
We're those two mice in the Warner Brothers cartoon. It's like, after you. Oh, indubitably.
No, after you.
We love each other like mice.
Kevin Smith is here. Hollywood Babylon is Friday night at the Hollywood Improv and the Talk Salad and Scrambled Eggs with Matt Mara, who, by the way, is so great on the Hardwick podcast as well. He's very talented.
Oh, Nerdist, yeah. He's one third of the Nerdist, folks.
That is going to be Saturday night at the Ice House in Pasadena. You can get tickets and info for all shows at csmod.com. Quick break. We'll be right back with Kevin Smith after this on K-Rock. Got a big 8 o'clock hour coming up here on K-Rock, including Hawkman himself. We'll be here. Kevin Smith, you're really going to stick around and meet the Hawkman?
Heavens, yes, but particularly if he pulls out his mace.
Also, another
rounded head.
No, it's
spiked.
It's just a weapon.
Yeah, it's a mace.
Another Miss Double December contestant will meet the lovely Shauna in studio. As you know, the pageant is going to be this Friday morning. Those who would like to come on down and join us, please bring a new unwrapped toy. That's the price of admission at the Slide Bar in Fullerton Friday morning. We will be broadcasting live. Hey, I want to ask your opinion.
That was awesome. You're on the toilet, aren't you? And he said that one. I'm home and I'm in the toilet.
I want to ask your opinion on something as both a fan of The Walking Dead and as a creator of content.
Okay.
And warning.
Fan of The Walking Dead, which we all know and love, and what you do, content.
You take up a lot of time with the things that you do.
That was first season Gilligan's Island, dude. And the rest. My career got an and the rest instead of the professor and Mary.
What I mean is you're a creator and a fan, okay?
Yes.
That's why I'm coming to you for
well
the answer to this
sir.
Question. And this is a spoiler alert for folks who are not current on The Walking Dead, but I think by this point most fans are. And it's a conversation we've been having off the air in the last few weeks, which is, what about the play of killing Glenn and then bringing Glenn back Do you agree with the criticism that many have that that kind of cheapens the stakes of the show, where you're led to believe that anyone can die at any time, oh, but not really if he's popular? But how do you feel about that whole plot point?
But they didn't kill Glenn. That was the point.
Right, but they sort of, they certainly made you believe that.
Yeah, but I mean, TV for years, TV and movies for years have been making us think things are about to happen, and then they don't happen. They didn't create that idea.
But he came back in such a ridiculously unrealistic fashion compared to the rest of the show.
I don't think it's ridiculously unrealistic, because I look at a lot of people in this room, and it could have worked for them. But what I hate about that moment is it reminds me that in a zombie apocalypse, the fat man is screwed. Because I watched that little boy slide under that dumpster so thin, close to the ground. I was like, of course he survived this. But if it was me and I fell off, I try to jam under there, and my gut literally stops me, or my ass if I'm on my belly. And all I'm thinking about is, like, why? Why do they eat those Twinkies? Now they're eating me like I'm a Twinkie. This is justice.
You're Winnie the Pooh at Rabbit's house.
By the way,
I'm stuck.
Chip wins. She can get in anywhere. She's
Chip, man. Chip, man. She'd be alive. She's the last cockroach in the zombie apocalypse, because she could fit anywhere.
Is the cockroach, was that a compliment?
Yes.
Okay.
If you're surviving the zombie apocalypse. That was the thing. That was the only thing about that death that I didn't buy. It's not like I didn't buy. I was just like, man.
Here was my thing.
Naturally, I put it through the prism of, like, what would I do? Or how does this affect me? But I thought the cheat, which it wasn't really a cheat, I thought the angle of his, you know, in the previous episode that we watch him fall, and you're like, how could he possibly survive? Mm-hmm. And I said that literally when the credits went. I'm like, how, there's no way they can write
even if those guts that we see are the guy laying on top of him, there's still nowhere for him to go. He's got a fence behind him and nothing but a wall of zombies ahead of him. Clearly, there's no out.
And yet they were standing on top of a dumpster, and you know, so there is a place to go. You know, he could have gone in. They didn't go the cheap route. He slid underneath. So I bought it. I didn't think it was a cheat.
I'm a little scared. That's all. I'm scared that that show, which did kill off characters for real, now made a fake. That scares me.
All right, let's go deep.
Now maybe
Let's go deep cuts.
Maybe it'll be fine.
And it's not even really deep cuts anymore in pop culture, because The Walking Dead's so massive that even the comic book that bore it out, Robert Kirkman's original comic book, you know, most people know that. In that comic book, spoilers if you don't want to know anything about Walking Dead next season.
Spoiler alert.
Thank you. Glenn gets killed by Negan, who they just cast.
Jeffrey Dean Walsh.
They just referenced the comedian.
The end of the last episode.
Bang. Yeah. So he, if they follow the comics at all, and sometimes they don't. Rick still has two hands. But if they follow the comics, that's where Glenn's going to buy it. And he will buy it. I don't think the show's suddenly gone, okay, we're down to our core Justice League, and now we can't kill
anything. No one's leaving ever.
Yeah, it's like it's going to be all red shirts from now on. I mean, they're very clever about bringing characters in who suddenly feel like core to the team. And that was the lesson of this whole episode, like of this whole arc, where as the spoilers, the woman lie dying, what was her name? The head of Alexandria, Tova Felch's character?
Deanna,
thank you. Well done.
She needed to go.
But... Dude,
see,
she's
Kevin
an amazing
allows
actress.
People to die that he wants to die.
She's an amazing actress, man. I wish she would have stayed. But as she went, she said, like, it's not your people and my, it's, they're all your people.
Right.
And that's kind of like the message of the whole thing. Like that works beautifully. When it clicks like that, because sometimes they make you earn it, man. They pull the taffy on a season where it's like, wait, nothing happened in this episode? But by the time they deliver the click message in the finale, or in this case the mid-season finale, you're like, how poetic. That's so damn beautiful. Like,
it's a beautiful show.
It's
it really
crazy
is.
How well that show crazy works good. Like it, like a beautiful soap opera, but at the same time you're like, we're gonna see some first person shooter action. They're gonna find a way to originally kill off somebody that's already dead, and we're gonna see some homage. They keep throwing in these homages to like the past, like they did Swamp Thing zombie a couple weeks ago, stuff like that, little things like that, little Easter eggs for Deep Cuts fans. But I wouldn't worry. I don't think they've gone soft by any stretch of the imagination. They're just gonna do away with Glenn the way they did away with him.
I know you're in that universe as a Talking Dead guest and whatnot. Would the possibility exist of you being able to direct an episode of The Walking Dead?
I mean, why would you want that? All they do is sit around and talk about Batman and Star Wars. You know, they're just like, do we care about this anymore?
Begging
like,
for somebody to be eaten.
Totally. Absolutely. Speaking of Batman and Star Wars, man, did you watch that teaser that they put out there?
That was my next question.
Batman,
what do you think?
Superman
this
teaser?
Is my theory. Spoilers. And I don't think I'm alone in this. A lot of people on the internet have pointed to this. I don't think that happens in the movie for real. I mean, look, kids, none of the movie is for real, but I think that scene is a dream sequence in that movie.
Yeah, I do too.
Yeah, because come on, he unmasks. It's so weird. This is a world where you have to say spoilers in front of everything. they unmask Batman in front of other dudes. And I know he's Bruce Wayne in the middle of the desert. Maybe there's a logic of, like, who would know Bruce Wayne? He's one of the most famous people in the world. So it's got to
be
a dream
like Donald
sequence.
Trump was under the Batman mask.
Oh, and how horrible that would be. I'd be like, kill him, Superman. I know who I'd be rooting for. But right away, the mood they set up, you know, is probably the best little teaser they could have thrown out there. In a Batman v Superman clip, that's like, holy crap. But come on, dude. I wear a hat all the time. I'm wearing one right now. If you take my hat off, my hair looks so stupid, flat, and bad.
Right.
Like I just got out of a shower. And that's not because I'm a fat man. That's because I'm wearing a hat.
Right.
If you were fighting in the desert and wearing that cowl for probably at least an hour, maybe two, and he pulled it off, would you really have, like, Breck hair? Like, cover girl hair? Ben Affleck looks more beautiful in that shot than Wonder Woman looked in the trailer. He is gorgeous. It is a beautiful comic book image of that mask coming up, his face hung in just the right angle, those angry eyes, and his, your hair smells terrific hair, just flowing beautifully.
Yeah, it's some people are saying it's Bruce Wayne's darkest fear about what Superman could become if left unchecked.
Support for it online. They just show the toy for this particular version of Batman, which if you've seen, you know, the clip, he's in the desert and stuff.
Wearing a trench coat for some reason in the desert.
I know. That's the Silent Bob Batman. But they call the figure the Night, as in Dark Knight, Nightmare Batman figure. So I think that's got to be what it is. I think it's a dream sequence. But nevertheless, gorgeous. Like, that's a comic book come to life. Every frame is so well composed, and when he pulls that mask off, dude, that looks like the final splash page of a 22-page comic that I've read a zillion times in my life. Not just like the unmasking of Batman, the unmasking of anybody. Dramatically, like, it's played so straight. You're watching it, and you go like, man, this is like somebody made a movie about Jesus. It's so important. And then you step back, and you're like, he's holding a rubber mask.
Yeah, looking at it like...
like a Ben Cooper mask, going like, I'm mad at you. It's so silly, but my Lord, they brought such authenticity to it. We live in a world where you could take these silly concepts from the four-color page, which we grew up with and loved, but, you know, you'd be like, oh, wouldn't it be great if they ever did that? And they would never do it, and now they're doing it.
I have time for one more question, and that is Star Wars.
Yes.
How's your emotional reaction been to all of the teasers, trailers?
Fantastic and more.
Toys,
I'm not one of those
people.
I want it all.
It's
Are
not
you kidding
too much.
Me? No. All over me. When it comes to Star Wars, man, I'm a bottom. I want it all over me and just...
Are your jeans going to go white?
Totally right.
Because of the spilled milk.
Right.
He's done it. He's cracked the code. Let me tell you, like, my one frustration with Star Wars, though, right now. I got an invitation. This is a little braggy, but I got an invitation to the premiere.
Mm-hmm.
And I just about died. I was like, the child in me, buried somewhere in all this heft, the 7-year-old boy who saw Star Wars with his family, got an invite to go see The Force Awakens premiere. And I was like, drop everything. This is what we're doing. Unfortunately, I'm going to be in Denver on stage for a sold-out show this time.
Cancel.
No way, dude. Like, I serve my audience before I serve my needs.
Cancel.
And never, never. I'll see Star Wars. It's going to be ample opportunity. But I'm not disappointing like a bunch of cats who, months ago, paid to see me. Like, as much as I love Star Wars, there's a room full of people who are like, we love you. So that wins.
So what you need is a snowstorm out of your control that cancels all the flights to Denver.
No way, dude. I want to be there where people, like, have bought tickets for me. Like, you know, Star Wars is about to have its moment, for heaven's sakes.
Listen, I will go in your place, Kevin.
I'll give you the tip.
All right.
Just a hat and a hockey jersey, Alan. You could absolutely pull
it. You take a cork from a wine bottle, you burn it, you paint on a beard.
What is she, a hobo?
Yes. And you put a bindle over your shoulder, a big rubber cigar, and you go trick-or-treating. Pillowcase.
Well, this has been a lot of fun, Mr. Smith. Thank you for coming in. We very much enjoyed it.
Yeah, with all your content that you do, all those things that you create.
You and your content.
Speaking of content,
come see me and Ralph do our content.
Hey, nice segue.
Thank you. Friday night, man. We're back to Babel for the first time in a month at the Hollywood Improv.
And we're going to show that teaser trailer from Batman v Superman. We're going to break it down as well.
They're also releasing a big fat trailer tonight on the Kimmel Show. So the full trailer, like, that was a teaser trailer. They pulled that little snippet out of the long trailer, which we're going to see tonight. So we'll talk about that on Babylon Friday.
Go to improv.com to get your tickets for Friday night show.
Great to see you, Kevin. Thanks for coming.
Thanks for having, guys.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's Kevin and Bean Show at 10 minutes till 8.
Ralph is here. Time for another look at the showbiz beat here on a Wednesday morning. And then you better go comb your hair and freshen up for your boyfriend.
Well, listen, I'm not you, Bean.
That is what Bean does.
Bean would
Bean would, when we had a particularly an attractive lady guest coming into the studio, back in the day, he would, during the commercial, he would go into the men's room and shave.
Yes. I did shave for Tyra Banks. I do remember that.
You shaved for several women. You would get a fresh shave in before they came in, as if they would walk in and go, wow, look at that smooth skin. Now I'm, hey, let's go into the parking lot, big boy.
And by the way, I feel about myself the same thing that I'm going to say about Bean, which is it didn't help. It never made it better.
Wouldn't make one difference, one iota, one way or the other.
Oh, that's cute that you're going to shave, but you're still you.
Yeah.
Dude, I'm just doing the best I can.
We know you are, buddy.
That's all. Anyway, Paul Ketchel is going to be joining us here. He is Hawkman right after 8 o'clock. Ralph's here now with the Showbiz Eat on Wednesday. What's going on?
He's a man, too. That's a man right there. The man's man. Saw him last night all chained up to a girder. He's like, that's a
that
man.
Code?
It's a man right there.
Pants go white.
Sad news if you're romantic. Courtney Cox and Snow Patrol's Johnny McDade have called it quits. They were supposed to get married at Christmas. And now?
This Christmas?
This wow. Christmas. Yeah, they moved out right before, moved out of the her home that they shared just before Thanksgiving, apparently. Ooh. Where it is they tried counseling to keep their relationship together, but according to the couple, they're just very different people. They got got engaged in June of 2014 after 6 months of dating. So perhaps they jumped the gun. Hmm. But look, at least they recognized it.
Yeah.
And they said, this is not a smart move. Let's shake hands, go to neutral corners, come out when the bell rings.
I have come to the conclusion that not all relationships that fail are failures. And are bad
I agree.
Things. I think there's something to be said for the experiences that you get during that time, and it doesn't necessarily have to be a sad thing or a bad thing. You can move on and do something else great.
You're such a romantic being. That's what I love about you. You're romantic.
Another relationship that's over is Olivia Culpo, the supermodel, and Tim Tebow, one-time NFL quarterback. They broke up, and she confirmed the rumors that the reason for the breakup? Why do you think they broke up?
Jesus.
Too much Jesus.
Wouldn't let her go to Bone Town?
She broke up with Tim Tebow because he refused to have sex with her.
Boom!
Allie's correct.
Allie wins.
Jesus.
Do yourself a favor. Google Olivia Culpo, look at the images, and then find Tim Tebow and never stop punching him in the face. Because I don't care, Jesus. Jesus would be like, go ahead, Tim. Here you go. Here's a box of rubbers. Live your life. That's what Jesus would say. He would turn bread into condoms for this. That's what he would do. Whatever magic tricks he does.
Water into wine.
Whatever. One of those magic tricks would be done so that Tim could have a good time.
Here's what I've just learned about Olivia Culpo in the last 15 seconds, Ralph. She is 23 years old, and she is Miss Universe.
Yes.
Hmm.
Okay.
Jesus loves the universe.
That's
His dad
true.
Created it. She's Miss Universe. Couldn't be more appropriate.
Wow.
Get to the manger, Tim. That's what he would say.
What about my boy Russell Wilson, who is not having sex with Sierra, by the way, on the same tip?
I don't like this new trend.
What about that?
All this not having sex.
Because they seem to be very close, like a very steady, strong relationship.
Is he, for the same reason, religious?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't like it either.
Bean doesn't like it, everybody.
Bean does not like it.
Well, you don't want your quarterback to be thinking about anything other than, playing football when he's out on the field. And I feel like right now he's out on the field going, why am I not having sex with Sierra?
I don't know. Rocky feels the opposite. He thinks you can't have sex and be a good athlete. Women weak in legs. That's what he's always saying.
That's true.
Jerry Seinfeld is so impressed by Billy Joel's regular gig at Madison Square Garden that he's decided to do the same thing in his hometown of Long Island. He is doing a monthly stand-up gig at the Beacon Theater there.
I like it. That's interesting.
That's a great idea.
Yeah.
So this way, if you're in New York and you want to see Jerry Seinfeld, once a month he'll be performing there until people stop buying tickets and he's going to have a standing engagement. It's very smart. Interestingly, Jerry also bought Billy Joel's house on Long Island 10 years ago.
Do we have a problem here?
he said in this interview.
Should we notify authorities?
I feel like New York and Long Island is kind of what gave me perspective on what I do. And I thought, as long as I have his house, why don't I steal his whole career? So he is sort of being
being following in his footsteps, if you will.
Yeah.
Congratulations to Mad Max Fury Road. The National Board of Review named Mad Max Fury Road the best film of 2015. The film starred, of course, Tom Hardy and Charlize Theron. Interestingly, neither of them got acting awards from the National Board of Review. Best Actor went to Matt Damon for his work in The Martian, which is kind of like a one-man show. It's an impressive piece of
work. It was impressive. He's great in that.
Brie Larson was named Best Actress for her work in Room. Jennifer Jason Leigh got the Best Supporting Actress nod for The Hateful Eight, the new Quentin Tarantino film. And Sylvester Stallone picked up Best Supporting Actor for Creed.
He deserved that, too.
It's
that
a great performance.
Yeah.
And I think there's so much history to that character. People loved seeing him be a real person again versus a superhero. So. And while we're talking about movies, Leonardo DiCaprio is starring in a new film called The Revenant about a wilderness man who is with a pack of travelers, all traveling together. It's Leonardo and his son, and Tom Hardy plays the leader of the expedition. When DiCaprio gets mauled by a bear, and rather than try to nurse him to health or deal with carrying the injured man, Tom Hardy decides it's better just to bury him alive and leave him for dead.
Uncool, dude.
Very uncool.
Maybe that's an understatement. Uncool.
But he's not dead, so he gets out and he looks for revenge. Ooh. Classic Old West tale of revenge. Looking forward to seeing this film. However, it was reported on Tuesday in the Drudge Report, which can be sometimes dubious when it comes to facts. Sometimes yes, sometimes no. Drudge reported that he's not just mauled by a bear, he's sexually assaulted by the bear in the movie. Raped by a bear, it is said in the report. So now the movie company Fox had to put out a release this week stating there's no bear rape in our movie. The bear in the film is a female who attacks Leonardo DiCaprio's character because she feels he might be threatening her cubs. There is clearly no rape scene with a bear.
Who would ever assume that?
I have no idea how these rumors get started, but it's sad that Fox has to address this. But apparently it has been addressed. And proof is in the pudding, as they say. I brought in that clip. Here's a scene from The Revenant where Leonardo DiCaprio is getting attacked by the bear. And you can clearly hear that there is no sexual assault.
Stop it, bear! Stop it!
Wait.
Bear! 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 You're breaking it! You're breaking my kayak!
Yeah. Oh.
Why are you doing that? Huh. Why are you breaking my kayak? Why are you breaking my kayak?
Yeah.
Well, that's not going to get annoying in the theater.
No, the bear's just breaking his kayak.
Yeah. Is that code, though?
No.
No? Okay. Wasn't sure. Like a butt.
His voice is high, man.
Yes.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Did you say I wasn't sure if the kayak is like the butt?
I might have.
I've always found those two things very distinguishable. I was always able to, from a young age, I was able to say kayak, butt. I was able to tell those two things apart.
That was the code.
Pretty clearly.
Yeah.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Lucy Liu's 47. Nate Mendel's also 47. Nelly Furtado's 37. Britney Spears is 34. Remember when Britney Spears was on top of the world? Could not have found a bigger superstar than Britney Spears.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Now she's basically...
She's still a big star.
She is.
But she's like...
Cher.
Celine Dion big. She's like Liza Minnelli big. She's like, she can get a draw in Vegas, but...
But nobody's looking forward to the next song from her.
Next John. The next Britney Spears John. Right?
Right.
Aaron Rodgers, quarterback of the Green Bay Packers. He is 32 years old today. Speaking of
dating, that's my John.
Speaking of dating celebrities, still get hot and heavy with Olivia Munn. Apparently all things are well between
them. And by the way, having sex with her and loving it.
Constantly. Sometimes on the field, I've heard. In the huddle, they'll just bring out Olivia Munn in the middle of the huddle. And he'll be like, cover me, guys. And just, you know, quickie.
They live in Bonetown.
They do. And they have a kayak there right off the pier.
I've heard that.
And by that, you mean...
I thought it was the same thing.
See, because you...
I'm Ralph Garner, walking the show this week.
Last night on the CW was the beginning of the crossover event you have been waiting for between The Flash and The Arrow on CW and setting up the DC's Legends of Tomorrow show for next year. We couldn't be more excited to welcome Hawkman himself, Falk Henschel, in studio with us here on the Kevin DeBean Show. Hey, Falk, how are you, man?
Hey, guys. I'm really good. Thanks for having me.
It's a pleasure to have you. You know, we've been hearing so much about Hawkman from our friend Ralph, who you met in the other room. This is something that lots of people... grew up, a character that lots of people grew up loving, and they just can't believe the time is finally here in the world where he exists on our television sets.
I'm excited people got to see it, and I think it came out really fun, and I hope people keep enjoying him.
How do they do such a great – this is going to sound like a dumb question, but I'm really intrigued because this material would be easy to make cheesy and awful. How do they do such a great job on those shows like The Flash and The Arrow of keeping it grounded in characters and making you really believe in these people and care about these people? I mean, it really is such excellent television.
Well, I think there's a mix between the writing, the cast, and the trust between the one another. Like, I think the cast does such a great job, and I think the writers – are really collaborative, which I think is really important for this, and let everybody bring what they think of the character to it.
Collaborative with actors, though? Do actors know anything?
Not really. No, you're right.
Tell us about your character. For those, like, I'm not familiar with Hawkman.
Hawkman, a.k.a. Carter Hall, he's been around for about 4,000 years, 206 lifetimes, and he is tethered to Ciara Renee's character, Kendra Saunders, Hawk Girl. They're lovers through eternity, and they're reincarnated to find each other again and again. That old story. And, well, the dynamic that I think is fun is that they're like, I describe him as a bickering couple, because Carter is just like, yeah, no, I'm in love with you and you love me and you'll know, you know. And she's like, no, you are crazy. I don't believe you. And I think that's sort of what really draws me to this couple, is that, you know, they love each other, but, you know, they don't always know it. Well, she doesn't always know
it. We have a clip, and I think this is the right time to play it, because it's talking about how
the greatest pickup line in history, is that what it's talking about?
Which one is it?
All right, here we go.
Ciara.
My name is Kendra Saunders.
In this life. And I was Carter Hall, but that is not who we are.
What does that mean?
You're Priestess Ciara, I'm Prince Khufu. And we're lovers. Soulmates, we've been partners for 4,000 years. We're drawn to each other in each life, and after we die, we reincarnate to find each other again and again and again. And now that I've found you, we should really get
back. Okay, Romeo, why don't you pump the brakes?
These people cannot protect you from Savage any longer.
Do you know who Vandal Savage is?
And every lifetime he hunts us down and kills us. He's done it 206 times, and I'm not planning to make it 207.
I would have used that with John Stamos yesterday if I knew I could do that. I mean, come on.
You got to have a certain amount of confidence to pull off, oh, you're in love with me. You just don't know it yet. But it sounds like it works.
Especially if you've been killed 206 different times.
Yeah. Why is Hawkman so bad at staying alive?
You're terrible at avoiding death.
Carlos character, Cisco, he keeps pointing it out, too. And in, that was one of the things when we were shooting. I always, like, on the first take, I was like, No, she's got a point, right? I mean, I suck. Because I'm sort of like, yeah, like, what am I thinking? And why are you sticking around with me? But I think the thing is, he just really means well. He just really, he still hasn't given up trying. And that's why, you know, that's why I tried these nuances of, like, you know, and I'm not trying to make it 207. It might be.
Right. It is going to be, by the way, yeah, I'm sure.
And then partly it's like, we'll see how it goes, and I've totally forgot what I was going to say, so I'm going to leave that.
This is the voice of actor Falk Henschel here on the Kevin and Bean Show. He, of course, from Hawkman, from DC's Legends of Tomorrow. And you've had a career for about 10 years or so you've been acting.
Yeah.
Tell me how you got this job, because I would imagine this is the type of thing that would be pitched to a lot of actors, and they would think, oh, that sounds like a lot to take on.
It's funny. This was actually fairly simple. I was in Europe visiting my family, who's in Germany, and I made a tape, and that was it.
Flying?
I jumped off my balcony,
right?
put down my mattress, still broke my ankle. No. And that was sort of it. And then I had a conversation with them after I booked it. To be fair, I've had a relationship with casting and producer, like we've seen each other a few times for Arrow and Flash, and this was just the right thing. And Falk means in German hawk, so Falca.
No kidding.
So I was like, yeah, just, you know, I'm not going to make a tape. This is, it's my name.
Give it to me.
You're born for this
role. Give it to me.
Give it to me.
It's my
name. Now, are you running into fans yet who insist on doing their hawk sounds for you?
No, but I...
You're so lucky.
You're about to.
I can't
because
wait.
Our little friend Allie is very excited.
Not, I don't think we
want
to do that.
Very excited. No, I want Falk to hear this.
We don't want the dogs of Los Angeles to hear this, though.
This is her hawk sound that we've had to hear all day long today in anticipation of your arrival, so I think it's only fair that you enjoy it as well.
I love it.
You want to hear my dolphin?
No one loves that.
Yes. That is pretty impressive.
Thank you.
Yeah. That
so
is
when,
really
when
good.
When Aquaman comes in, I'll be like, hey, I'm a sea creature. No? I'm going to take another run at that.
Yeah.
That is awesome.
That's not the finish line. You can work on it. You have time.
What's the schedule in terms of your appearances on the current shows, and then how does it transition into Legends of Tomorrow?
Right now we're just doing Legends. We're done with crossovers. But that period, if anyone cares to know, but it was crazy. We were doing four episodes at the same time.
That's
running between sets and everything.
Really? Yeah, we were literally picked up and driven somewhere. Sometimes I was like, okay, yeah. I was talking about some scene, and they were like, no, that's the wrong show. That's not what you're doing right now.
Wow.
Yeah, and I was at some point, I took Ian McKellen's acting advice of, somebody tells you where to stand, and somebody tells you what to say, just do that because I was like, I'm not gonna try any more than that.
Just having trouble keeping it straight.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, we have a lot of questions about the DC's Legends Tomorrow. It's an unbelievable cast, by the way, and sounds like such a cool show. That premieres January 21st, also on the CW at 8 o'clock that night. Our guest is Falk Henschel. He is here on the Kevin and Bean Show. He is Hawkman. Do it again, Allie.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Actor Falk Henschel from The Legends of Tomorrow, premiering in January on the CW and The Flash and The Arrow. He is Hawkman himself in studio with us here on The Kevin and Bean Show. It's great to have you here. We have to talk dancing for a minute because that came up during the song there. Now, your background, although we now know you as this tough guy, Hawkman, your background is in dance, right?
Yes, it is. That's how I got...
Professionally.
Yeah, I got my way in. My mom was like, look... You seem to not be getting a foot into the acting door. So Patrick Swayze, Gene Kelly, Fred Astaire, do that. And she literally put me in dance class, and it sort of led to a backup dance career.
Same with me. That's my life, too. Yeah.
No.
Mariah Carey?
No, not at all. No.
With Mariah Carey at one point?
Yeah.
Britney Spears?
Yeah, videos. That was sort of like in the video backup dancer work.
That's a crazy life.
Yeah. Yeah, it was fun, and it's a crazy world. I was like, somebody should make a show about that. It's just stuff that happens in it is pretty hilarious.
And you were telling us that there are a lot of people with serious dance skills on the Flash set too.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, like I said, there was like I told you guys in the break, Flash and I had a small little tap off, shuffled, and I got annihilated because tap is something I always wanted to be really good at, and
it's
I'm
hard.
Not at all. I know the
so
control
hard.
That you need to have.
So and you're saying Hawkman and the Flash had a tap dancing contest?
A tap off sounds
cool. I know, but I just want to.
Yeah.
I would call it more the Flash just ran all over
I
Hawkman,
see. Okay.
And Hawkman tried to do something about it, but completely failed.
That's hilarious. So one day, would you like to get some sort of a role where you can dance again on film?
Yeah, I mean, to be really honest with you,
like a musical?
Just for my mother, I was like, if they ever do the remake for Dirty Dancing, which they almost did, I was like, I don't care what it's going to be. I don't care if it's going to be good or not. I would love to do that.
You're totally Johnny Castle. I'm putting it out there right now.
Thank you so much.
Done.
Something like that. Other than that, it's hard. I'm like, after Street Dance 2, I was like, this was hard work. I'm now in my 30s. You know,
maybe less of that.
Maybe
less.
Yeah.
Do you watch Dancing with the Stars?
I haven't. No, I have not. I watched.
Okay.
What have I seen? America's. Sorry. Dancing.
One of the top. What was your show? What was your show,
dance
Kevin?
Crew,
you loved on MTV.
America's Best Dance Crew.
Crew off.
I don't know. Remember. And so you think you can dance too? That's
what I was going for.
Falcon, I am fascinated. I mean, you are a guy who is, you know, let's face it, your whole life, I assume, changed in some way last night as we saw you on the CW, and it's going to change even more with the Legends of Tomorrow. But you're a guy who's been working hard and been in a lot of projects over the last 10 years, and you've had some really interesting work. And I'm curious how your first ever job was on Arrested Development, because that sounds like a dream come true.
It's one of our favorite all-time shows.
Yeah, it was. That was, again, I sort of tapped, and I had to sort of sing as well in it, because we were the hot cops. We got hired by Tobias, and it was a whirlwind, because that show, I thought, was so different to anything else that was on TV at the time.
It was. Genius.
Yeah, but when you're in it, you're like, wait, okay, there's a camera running around, handheld, and not much else. So it was just and being my first job, I was really inexperienced. So it was a whirlwind, and
And you moved to LA to pursue acting, right?
Yes, I did.
Were you here for a long time before you got that job?
About 3 or 4 years, I think.
Was there ever a time where you thought it's not going to happen? I'm going to give up.
Yeah, all the time. Like last night. No, I'm just that happens all the time. You get up and you
just... It seems like it would be soul-crushing to just go in and audition, and it just doesn't happen.
It can be. I think, thankfully, knock on wood, I'm in a better place now, even just mindset about it. To me now, it's meetings and an opportunity to get to play and meet creative people. And it either happens or it doesn't. I have a lot of faith now that I'm like, yeah, I'm going to act. Worst case scenario, equipment is cheap. There's drones. I'll just fly the drone myself, and I'll make a little movie. I run through the woods, and, you know, that's all it is for me, running through the woods, pretending to be somebody and having fun, you know?
Wow, that's such a positive attitude. And
it's not shooting very high, though, just running through the woods.
I mean, that's not very high goal.
In my mind, I'm having a sword in my hand, and I'm screaming freedom, like Braveheart. Something like that.
That's much better. Okay, good.
Forgot to mention that.
Let's talk about DC's Legends of Tomorrow coming out in January. And I mentioned the cast. I mean, my God, Brandon Routh, Victor Garber, Wentworth Miller. I mean, those are just off the top of my head. I mean, it's amazing. Explain the premise of the Legends of Tomorrow.
Legends of Tomorrow is a lot of heroes coming together because they have to fight a supreme villain called Vandal Savage. And, yeah, it's all these, I would say, sort of solo superheroes having to unite and travel through time. Rip Hunter picks us up, who is a time master, and he takes us through time to try to prevent doom from happening.
Now, has Vandal Savage killed all of them 206 times as well?
No, they're much better than I am. They just have never had to face him.
Oh, they have never had to.
This is their number one. So,
gotcha.
We'll see how they fare.
You're like, I got this.
And they're like, no, you don't.
No, actually, Hawkman.
Hawkman, you sit down.
Sit down, Hawkman.
we'll handle it this time. It seems like it would be an incredibly difficult show to shoot. You usually make these shows in, what, 8 or 9 days or something like that. Mm-hmm. They're hour-long shows with so much action, and especially with all of these heroes, so much, you know, special effects and stuff that has to be done too. Like, I can't even imagine how much work it is.
Oh, absolutely. A little tidbit too, like the action, of course, but what's really difficult actually is just dialogue scenes with 10 people. You come on the set and there's 10 of us. We all have to be covered. We have to figure out how do we come in and block it so that we can actually just get it done and have everybody say their lines on screen, you know? So sometimes that in itself is a huge challenge.
What happens if Heatwave and Captain Cold are in the same room together?
It's hilarious.
I wasn't expecting that answer.
I love Dominic. His voice, and he grumbles a lot. You know, like if you watch him in the show as the character, even if he doesn't have a line, you hear it. And I love it.
Tell me about Hawkman flying. What's that like for you?
Oh, so cool, because I came on set and met with the producers, and I was like, am I flying on wires or is it all digi-double? And they're like, no, you're flying on wires and you have wire training tomorrow. So I was like,
wire training, okay.
I was like, yes, I get to actually be in the air. Because I'm such actors are nerds. I'm like, I'm pretending that I'm actually flying. I did the Robin Williams, hook flying when he like swims through the air.
Right, sure.
I geeked out, so it was awesome.
I got to do that once, and I'm a lady. And it still hurt where I would have junk. It's painful, right?
Well, yes. You have to really adjust all that beforehand.
Yeah.
Uh, But I think the geeking out is sort of like the adrenaline. It takes over,
it surpasses,
and my
yeah.
my area just gets numb because I'm just so
until
so
the
excited.
Day after.
Until the day after.
And you go, like, holy crap, yeah. what happened?
Well, Malk, it sounds like you are having the time of your life right now, like really enjoying this opportunity, which is great to hear.
I am. I really am. And I'm really, really grateful for it. Because, like you said, you go through so much stuff. Mm-hmm. Having my family be in Germany and all that, it's like, is it ever going to be worth it? And then you just like, oh, thank you even just for those 2 days where you're like, hey, it works out, you know, and it's
right.
worth it.
So it was The Flash last night, Arrow tonight.
Arrow tonight, yes.
And then your show premieres on the 21st?
21st of January, yes.
And what kind of early reaction are you getting from fans? I know you're active on social media. Are people loving it?
Yeah, so far, really, really positive. I'm really careful with, like, checking too much on it.
Yeah.
Because I saw one response when I got cast. Where I was like, he's puny. Like, he's not even 240 pounds. And I was like, you know, I was like, all right, I'm an actor. I have an eating disorder already. You know, I shouldn't be reading it.
Maybe don't read those.
So far, that said, like, it's been really, really great.
That's awesome. All right. DC's Legends of Tomorrow premieres in January. Look for the Arrow crossover tonight with our new friend, Falk Henschel. So great to meet you, man. Congratulations on all your success, and we appreciate you coming in.
Thank you so much for having me.
Hey, Kevin and Bean. Whatcha making?
Whatcha making indeed, by the way.
Fruitcake.
Kevin, you were saying that Christmas wrapping's in your five favorite Christmas songs of all time.
Yes.
What about Fruitcake? Where's that stack up?
This is in the This is in the really bad category. Top five. Top five really bad category.
Which makes it the best.
Which is great.
Yeah. Two. Green cherries.
Green ones too.
It's fruitcake.
It's a nonsense song where he's just reading.
Pecans or walnuts. Citrus peel.
Put them in a bowl.
Lots of stuff. And what you feel.
He said, We're not even 45 seconds in, and he said lots of stuff.
Right, and add what you feel. Look, this
is is he out?
This isn't supposed to be a recipe that
it's
you
just
take,
a recipe
that you take too hard, though. It's not like it's there's room for improvisation when you're talking about the fruitcake. You can throw a lot of different things into fruitcake and still make it a delicious
but
holiday
lots of
treat.
Stuff.
You're not sitting there with a pen and paper writing it down.
But I think I'm supposed to be.
No.
It's about the feel.
What you feel.
See?
Sticks of butter, cinnamon.
Let me name some other things.
Molasses, lots of dark rum.
Sounds good.
Artificial color.
All right.
Artificial flavor. If your family don't want it, give it to a neighbor. It's fruitcake.
Look, here's all I'm saying.
It's fruitcake.
I'm please. Saying God bless Fred Schneider and God bless the United States of America. Who's with me?
I am Bean.
Thank you.
USA,
thank you.
USA, USA. What you making? Fruitcake.
Crushed up eggshells.
Fruitcake.
All coffee grounds.
Red dye number two.
Put some sewing needles in.
No.
And some razor blades.
Don't make it bad, Ralph.
Sulfuric acid.
No.
Ground up glass. Old toenails.
Oh.
And your grandma's ass.
Okay, I think that's enough.
Are you kidding me? He's just getting started.
I think you have just all over.
You just ruined Christmas.
I ruined that song?
Oh.
Yes.
That song
yes,
was only ruined when it was wrote. The words of Davy Jones.
That song is about fun and love and the
and
holidays
your grandma's
and
ass.
Family just, and togetherness.
Just a laundry list of crap. It doesn't even belong in a fruitcake. He's just stream of consciousness. He's just looking around his kitchen.
Who hurt you, Ralph?
Pick up a spoon.
Cabinet doors. Put in the spatula. I've got nutmeg and coriander.
All right, that's
a little bit of mace.
Mace.
The stuff they spray in your face.
What?
Yeah, it's no. not the stuff they spray in Fred's face.
Oh. Okay.
I just have to be ugly.
Put in some capers and ground
that
up peppercorn.
So fast.
Yes, it did. Hey, listen, we're going to meet another Miss Double December contestant. She's
Flakes
the beautiful
sea salt.
The beautiful Shauna will be joining us just after 9. Plus, your chance to win acoustic Christmas tickets. First, though, time for the Showbiz Beat on a Wednesday. What's going on?
And maple syrup.
Ralph, I got another 2.5 minutes.
I know you do.
Okay. All right.
Oy.
That's a great song.
Come on. And that Christmas rapping song, too.
I love that song.
Why are you the only person in the world who doesn't appreciate how great Christmas rapping
because
is?
Because
everyone loves Christmas rapping.
It is the wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald of Christmas songs.
No.
You mean in the repetition factor?
Oh, my dear Lord, yes.
Yeah, in the repetition factor, I can see that, but I
and
still love it.
There's no repetition. It is a story.
That's a Bean's defense of the wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald, by the way.
Oh, that's hurtful.
Yeah, it is, right?
All
right.
It is a story.
Take a long, hard look in the mirror, Allie.
She loved him, and then she didn't. Then, on with the boots back out in the snow, and then all of a sudden,
the gift of the Magi.
It's him, and how dare you? You're so wrong on this.
I put on my boots, and I went outside, and I went to a store, and I bought a paper. They were out of newspapers, so I had to read my news on the internet. Then that guy was walking down the street, and he was also looking for something, but I decided I was really tired, so I didn't go out, and I took a nap, and then I got a cold, and I blew my nose. F you!
You're awfully grinchy today.
You told a story.
I'm not grinchy. I love good things, but you people are celebrating only the bad of Christmas, and someone's got to put you down.
What's your favorite Christmas song, Ralph?
Favorite Christmas song.
We're going to come up with a top five and a bottom five, I think.
Yeah.
The one that means Christmas to me, when I listen to the Christmas stations and I wait and I wait and I wait, there's two that mean Christmas to me. They're tied for number one. It's Bruce Springsteen's Santa Claus is Coming to Town.
Okay.
And Bing Crosby and Dave Bowie's Little Drummer Boy. Mm-hmm. Those two, for me, mean Christmas.
Those are legit. There's nothing wrong with those songs. Can we like your songs. Why don't you like our songs?
Because
he doesn't have to.
Because David Bowie doesn't say, I went outside and I walked down the street and then I went into my car and I forgot my keys and the other jacket, so I had to go back into my apartment. Come on! Sing a song!
You couldn't be more wrong about Christmas rapping. You're just going to have to accept it.
Can I tell you guys my favorite?
Sure.
This Christmas.
Peak.
I've been a paraplegic now for more than 20 years.
Yeah, it's a good one. Yeah, this is a story. This is a story he's telling.
Yeah. And not a good one.
They don't write them like that anymore.
No, they don't.
I think he's out. All right.
Nope. Oh. Here comes Santa.
When I was just a teenager.
Right, what happened?
A car crash made me one.
Okay.
A bull named Car Crash at the rodeo.
See? Plot twist. You thought it was but it was a bull named Car Crash at the rodeo.
You know how you go to a rodeo and become a paraplegic?
That was a rodeo. Yeah,
you do when a bull named Car Crash tramples you.
Allie looks horrified. She's never heard that.
She's never heard Peak the rodeo clown.
Rodeo clown. Oh. That's the saddest song ever.
God, I hate it here.
I don't want to take
out. This is the Hotel California, sweetie. You can check in, but you can never check out. So just get used to it.
Take up too much of Ralph's valuable showbiz time.
Oh, who cares?
But that's not the saddest Christmas song ever.
What?
No, I'm sorry.
Santa Claus has got the AIDS this year.
Why does he have to do this every year?
And he won't be around to spread his Christmas cheer.
All right. That's fine.
See what you did, Ralph?
What I did?
Yeah, you.
If you would have just liked Christmas rapping, none of this would have happened.
That's
right. If you just get on the bad bandwagon, we'll leave you alone. That's what happened in Germany, late 30s, man. You people, that's what you are.
Wow. Yep. Wow.
That went south so fast! You're the Christmas Nazis. Come on, just join the party. Oh, we're doing a few bad things, but it'll be fun. Come on. Put on these patent leather boots we got for you, these brown shirts. Celebrate.
Uh-huh. How about Christmas shoes with a little kid in buying the shoes for his mom who's dying
so sad.
And going to heaven
so
to meet
so
Jesus?
Sad. That is the saddest Christmas song of all time.
That's the biggest piece of crap.
No, it's not. It's sad.
That is a beautiful song and reminds you what Christmas is all about.
God, it's so sad.
I can't listen to it. Kid died too.
If I hear him in, I was like, I got to change station because I'll be bawling in about a minute and a half.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to have to...
And the guy buys the shoes for the kids. Bad enough the kid shows up, but he doesn't have enough money for the shoes to give to his dying mother so she can wear them when she meets Jesus at Christmas. Come on. If that doesn't make you sad, you have no heart.
She's been sick for quite a while. Know these shoes will make her smile. Want her to look beautiful if mama meets Jesus tonight.
Rip your heart out. Rip your heart out and feed it to the reindeer.
It's okay, Allie.
So sad.
She's actually tearing up.
I think
she has a heart as big as all outdoors.
She does.
Yeah.
While we're talking,
she hated Peek, the rodeo clown.
I didn't hate him. I feel so bad.
This Christmas,
we made her cry.
I've been a paraplegic now for over 20 years.
That's the worst song ever.
The man's telling his story, Kevin, and you're laughing at him.
Come on now.
Well, he's a hell of a harmonica player. You got to give him that.
This Christmas.
He's got that going for him.
I've been a paraplegic now for more than 20 years.
Solo.
That in 9 seconds is the worst song ever. All right, showbiz time.
The good news is he doesn't need Christmas shoes. His shoes are still looking as sharp as the day he bought them. Did not wear them out. So, see, everything's got an upside at
Everything
Christmas.
Everything has an upside, that's right.
Hey, speaking of Christmas songs, we can all agree that 12 Days of Christmas is a POS, right?
Horrible song.
Thank you.
I don't like
something
horrible.
We can all agree on. But every goddamn year.
I think that's my
year,
least favorite Christmas song of all of them. I really do.
And it's because you know what's coming, and there's just just nothing you can do about it. You gotta work through all of it. Everything repeated.
Yeah.
Sometimes one of them is repeated 12 times.
Yes. It's a nightmare song.
But invariably, every year they put this out, the annual cost of items in the 12 Days of Christmas song.
If you were going to get all of them, this is what it would
If you
cost.
Wanted to buy everything on that list for your beloved, this is what it would cost you. They've been doing this every year since 1984.
The only one I care about is The Lady Sleeping. I just wonder what that's going to set me back.
Well, Bean, if you wanted to get, first of all, the ladies don't leap, the lords leap, the ladies dance. So maybe you do need to hear the song a couple more times. Because there's no leaping ladies. Maybe out of your
Bean's
car.
Version better.
The girls are leaping out of your car sometimes when you pick them up. But
all right, so dancing ladies, what's that going to set me back?
Nine ladies dancing will set you back $7,552.84.
Well, you're paying. That's more than you need to pay. You can get ladies dancing a lot.
I've been down the Seventh Vale, and I've been able to get nine ladies dancing for about $150 all in.
All right,
if you don't include the champagne room. Just get singles. They don't know how many singles you're throwing out there. Just get a big stack of them.
All right, what else is on the list and how much?
11 Pipers Piping, $2,635.20. It must be Union Pipers. I can get Scab Pipers for less than that.
Yeah, because it's the only gig they get all year.
Right?
So.
That's what I'm saying. Nine ladies dancing, by the way, most expensive item on the list.
Huh.
5 gold rings you can get for $750. Not good gold, but what are you going to do? 3 French hens will cost you about $180. 2 turtle doves, expensive, $290.
That's BS.
Get pigeons, you won't know the difference. 12 drummers drumming, $2,854.80.
Are you buying the drummers or just renting
them?
Just
renting them, just getting them to drum for you.
I'll do it for nothing. I'm a drummer. I like beats.
Cold beer mug. So there, total list. $155,407.
Worth it.
Worth it. If you really loved your true love gave to thee, then you would have that.
Pre-Ralph Garman days.
This Christmas.
Back when the Kevin and Bean Show made a lot more poor choices.
Right.
We did a live 12 Days of Christmas event at the Burbank Equestrian Center where we collected all of the things on that list and presented them in front of a live audience.
On purpose?
Yeah, it was terrible.
Yes, that was what we did. It was a live broadcast.
Wasn't Danny Bonaducci the partridge?
He was the partridge. Tracy Lords was involved. She was leaping. I think she was a lady dancing. Or maybe she was a lord
she
leaping.
She would
dancing.
Be
Why
Tracy,
Tracy Lords. Be a lady dancing.
Well, God.
I'm saying we could have put her in either category. I don't remember which one she was in. But the point is,
did you have 8 maids of milking? And were they milking cows?
Do you remember, Kevin?
I
what did we do
don't
about the milk?
Remember.
Were they lactating? I think that was what we did. So, don't do that, Ralph. We don't want to see that.
Just
put them away.
Spraying the audience?
Nope. Put them away.
Nope.
Anyway, that was a live show that fortunately has been did not make the archives. It has been lost to history.
Graffiti art all over the audience?
Just stop doing that so that we can move on.
Like silly string?
Right.
All right, I'm way late. Today's celebrity birthday is Lucy Liu's 47 years old today, as is Foo Fighters bassist Nate Mendel. Nelly Furtado is 37. Britney Spears is 34. Aaron Rodgers, QB of the Green Bay Packers, is 32. Today, I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's Kevin and Bean Show at 11 minutes after 9. All banjos all the time. I think that's our stance on this program.
Certainly plenty of them in that song, that's for sure. Hey, congratulations to our latest winner of Night 1, K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2015 tickets and backstage passes. That is Olivia Romo from Cudahy. Cudahy? Cudahy.
I think it's Cudahy.
Cudahy, all right, fine. Cudahy. Thank you, Olivia, for... Now, Allie says it's Cudahy. Now what do I do? Kevin says Cudahy.
It's Olivia. Dave never clarifies things, so don't let's not go with that.
Anyway, congratulations, Olivia. Thank you so much for listening. Your chance to win is coming up here on the world-famous K-Rock. I thought this was really funny, you guys, and I don't know. I know it's been a long, long time. I don't know how long since we discussed this topic on the air, but there was a Reddit topic the other day. The question was thrown out, have you ever had to fire someone on their first day on the job? What did they do? And I love these stories. Here's one. He just got his logon credentials for the corporate Wi-Fi, and literally the first thing he did was try to get onto YouPorn.
Sure.
We've got a filter installed that shows a notification. This website is blocked for violation of company policies, which, by the way, we have here at CBS, much to our ultimate frustration. So he emails the department supervisor, who was me in this case. When YouPorn didn't work, he tried Pornhub, RedTube, and 20 other sites. Bye-bye. I mean, that's the first thing he did when he got his password. Is that hilarious?
It does seem like you have to really screw up to get fired on the first day. I mean,
yeah.
Most people, I would imagine, get called in maybe. They get warned. But the first day to say goodbye.
Because they cut you a lot of slack on your first day because you're brand new. You don't know how anything works. I worked for a trucking company. When you're hired, you do ride-alongs and tests and stuff until you're cleared to drive solo. Then you have to go at least 90 days without an accident or incident before you get fired. That's company policy. Well, this guy's first day solo, everything went well up to the point. He showed up ready to go, did his inspections, was all set, jumped in the cab, and then drove over the front flower bed, signed, and took out a retaining wall before careening across the highway and ending up in a ditch. Oops. He just hoofed it back across the road, got in his car, and left. So it sounds like maybe they didn't even have to fire him.
Wow.
Like he literally just drove home. Here's a little company espionage for you. My company had to have someone escorted out of the building within the first couple of hours of him starting because he cloned, zipped, and emailed himself all of our proprietary source codes.
What?
So that sounds like a guy who just really like took the job so he could rip off all their stuff. It goes on and on. We want your phone calls on this, by the way, at 1-800-520-1067. Have you ever had to fire somebody on the first day or been fired on the first day? When I worked in fast food, we cycled through employees on a weekly basis. The worst was a guy who on his first day asked for a smoke break and then went next door and tried to rob a bank in his uniform. Is that insane?
That's great. That guy should have gotten a raise.
All right. Now, I'm going to ask you, Allie, if you had to guess who on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Come on.
Kevin.
Out of all
Kevin.
Of them.
Hey, come
on. You don't even know what the question's going
to
be.
It has to do with being fired on your first day, and it's Kevin.
All right. Is it Kevin?
I mean, maybe.
Maybe Monkey. I was fired the first day.
Monkey,
what happened?
I got a job doing construction.
Okay.
All right. Got to pay the bills. Got to do whatever you got to do.
Sure.
So I show up on the site, and it's an apartment complex. Mm-hmm. And the guy says, here's a scraper. You have to scrape the cement off of all of the floors of the apartments. And every apartment is identical, and there's like 250 of them.
That sounds like steady work. At least you know you're going to have a job to come back
to
for weeks to come.
Such BS. So the boss goes, so I'm leaving. So you guys just, you know, do this. You could clock out at such and such. And you know, I'll check in tomorrow and see how things are going. So as soon as he left, I was like, I'm not doing this. This sucks. So we started playing a baseball game inside one of the apartments with a 2x4 and duct tape, a duct tape baseball.
Sure.
And we had a home plate and first, second, third. And mm-hmm. we had a whole game going on. I was ahead. I was very happy about that. And the boss came right in. I mean, it was like an hour after. He said he was not coming back. So I put that on him.
He's the dick, for sure.
So he came in and saw all of us playing this baseball game in one of the apartments and fired us all that second.
Is that why you hate baseball?
No, that was the best part of my day right there. And it got me out of that job. That job was going to blow.
Had you gotten away with it, let's say the boss hadn't come back, Kevin, and you would have been able to play that game of baseball, what was your plan? Were you going to at some point go back to work, or was your plan you were going to quit?
I
don't remember. I imagine I probably would have gone back and said, let's blow through like 10 of them and get them done quickly, and then we'll do whatever.
Mm-hmm. Oh, like a reward
system. You were cutting corners even at a young age.
Well, come on. I mean, it was like 250 apartments, and they were all identical. So you'd scrape one, and then you go in the next one, there's cement everywhere. You go, no! This is BS!
1-800.
Let's play a game.
520-1067. Let's take one call real quick before the break. Let's make it our friend Nick. He's on line 2, and he joins us on the Kevin DeBeach Show. Hey, Nick. Thanks for calling, man. How are you?
Hey, Nick.
Yeah.
Oh, hi there. How are you?
Yeah. You got fired on the first day? What happened?
Oh, yeah. Hey. Yeah, I got fired 2 times on the first day. One, when I was 17, my girlfriend, she got me a job at Luigi's Pizza, and I was stoked because I needed the money.
Right.
And then we just got caught in the freezer together, and they fired both of us. Like, no, like, I think she was, like, on thin ice anyway, or, but I don't know, but...
Wait,
yeah,
hold on a second. Why were you guys in the freezer? You ducked in there to eat pizza?
She went in to get the sausage.
Yeah.
Right?
Did
you? Yeah. All right. It was cold. So you know.
In your defense, it was cold. It was shrinkage. I understand.
The other
The
other time, I went down to Australia for the Olympics to volunteer.
Okay.
And, It's the opposite, right? You know that. So it's like, you know, in December, it's hot there. It's the summer.
Right.
It's July here.
Sure.
Yes.
And so the Olympics were on, but it was in December. So okay. I'm standing, and this guy is like a total jerk to me. And he's like, you have to stand here in the sun, you know, in his Australian accent. And then I'm all, no, I'm going to stand over here in the shade. And we just didn't get along, and that was it. I volunteered for, like, about 6 hours, and that was the end of that.
Well, at least you went all the way to Australia for that job, so that worked out well for you. All right, thank you, Dave. Well done, sir.
Is this Tommy Lee?
Yeah, bye.
1-800-520-1067. You got fired on the first day, or someone was fired where you work on the first day. We'll take your calls next time, K-Rock. Talking about getting fired on the first day. I knew our listeners would be all over this, by the way, including this one, Na, who writes in on the Kevin DeBean Twitter account. I had to fire someone as soon as I hired him. We had just finished the interview. I welcomed him aboard. I asked for his ID and social information to fax over to corporate, get his paperwork completed, and a sack of weed and a little meth fell out of his pocket. I just looked at him, and he looked back at me and said, I didn't get the job, did I? I shook my head, and he just walked out. So close to full employment there. All right, let's talk to our man, Steven. He's in Garden Grove. He's up first. We're taking your calls on this topic at 1-800-520-1067. Hi, Steven. Thank you for calling. Thank you for holding on. What happened, man?
Hey, guys. Sure thing. So basically, I used to work in this warehouse, also in Garden Grove, and this kid comes in on the first day. He was just hired on. And everything's normal. You know, we go through the first 2 hours of the shift, and then our break hits. And immediately, the first thing he does is climb up on a stack of pallets and do a backflip off of it.
Okay.
And he starts going around the warehouse doing different, like, acrobatic stunts. Like, he gets on our 3-story high paper pallets, does a plank. He wanted one of my other friends to, like, lift him up onto all the way up on a forklift and, like, do, I don't know, calisthenics on it or something. And, like,
what the hell was going on?
I don't know, but as soon as our supervisor saw this, he's just like, this guy's got to go. That's not safe. Like, it's a 3-month probationary period. And, I mean, I don't think he realizes the severity of being safe in a warehouse with, like, 2-story conveyors in it, you know?
Yeah. It doesn't sound like he's taking that part of the job very seriously. That's funny for being fired for doing acrobatics, though. I've never heard of that before.
Sounds like a parkour guy who just needed a steady gig.
Yeah. But as soon as he did that backflip off the pallet, my friends and I just started dying.
I love this guy.
That's awesome.
Hey, guys, watch me do another one.
Thank you so much, Steven. Let's go to Justin out in Ontario. He's on line 6, please. Justin, you had to do some firing on day 1. How come?
I hired you guys working at a fast food restaurant at the time, and I was showing how to work the grill. And on the sides of the grill, there's these grease catches, catch all the nasty stuff that falls off the burgers. And we had a container that you dump all the old grease in. So I told him to do that, and I walked away for 2 seconds, and I guess he interpreted that he had to put it on the grill or something like that, but I guess it started popping up everywhere and caught the whole building on fire.
He put the grease back on the grill?
On the grill.
And no. how much damage was done to the restaurant? You said the whole place caught on fire?
About half the building.
Oh, my God.
I'll bet that looked pretty cool, though. I love fire.
No, Kevin.
No, I love fire. What?
Plus, we got a couple weeks off paid, so wasn't all too bad.
See?
All right, I mean, everyone wins.
Everyone wins, exactly. All right, sir, thanks for the call. Let's go to Riverside now. Talk to Trent. He's up next on line five. Hi, Trent. Were you the fire or the firee this time?
No, I actually know somebody who was fired. I was working at John Wayne Airport. Okay. At the time, I was working at one of the food concessions inside, and on one of the days that I was leaving, I left at like about 12 o'clock. There was a guy who was coming in. He just finished orientation. He was just waiting for a security clearance to check. And so I was talking with him, giving him the lowdown on what he needed to do. So a week goes by, and I'm leaving work, and I remember that it was this guy's first day, and he was coming in on the later shift when I was leaving. So I go outside, and I see him sitting down outside the checkpoint surrounded by cops. I'm thinking, what the hell did this guy do? Come in the next day, find out that he tried to bring in a gun into the airport, not realizing that we had to pass through security just like everybody else.
Why? Why?
Why would he need a gun?
Did you ever know why?
I'd never asked. Like I said, I'd met him for like a couple minutes as I was leaving about a week before.
Right.
So I barely even remember the dude's name. All I remember was just like, you had to have been a colossal idiot to think you would get away with that.
Bringing a gun to the airport.
Yeah. Yeah, most people don't think airport is the place I need to bring a gun. That's for sure. All right, thank you for the call, sir. Hey, going back to this this Reddit thread that started the whole topic, I love this one. Here's a guy who screwed up the entire delivery schedule. He's a truck driver. He doesn't answer his radio. When they finally got a hold of him, he said, "Oh, yeah, I was going through town, and there was an all-you-can-eat Chinese buffet for $3.95. I couldn't pass up a deal like that. I turned off my radio while I was eating." That was on his first day on the job. He turned off his radio in his delivery truck and had Chinese.
And that guy's name was Beer Mug.
It might have been Beer Mug. All right. A new Miss Double December contestant we have not yet met in person. She is the lovely Shauna. She is looking for your votes at KevinBean.com if you want to check her out. We will talk to her and meet her next right after this on K-Rock. As you know, it is the most wonderful time of the year. Give me a little of that theme song I love so much. And it's the wonderful time of the year. It has nothing to do with Christmas. It has to do with we are looking for a new Miss Double December. We crown a winner on Friday. Let's meet another contestant.
Here she comes. She's our Miss Double December.
Boobies.
She's an angel, and just look at those cans.
Big ones, right?
She's got big guns, baby. She's got the hoots. Boy, how she gets me excited. Hey, look, my is hot.
I think you guys are with me when I say we have a winner, ladies.
We don't have a winner
Shauna,
yet because Friday
is Miss Double December. What?
People, huh? She might be the winner, but people still need to vote, and then
look at Shauna.
We come
though.
To a conclusion on Friday, Bean.
How
Friday.
Is she not the winner? Hi, Shauna. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hi.
Very nice to meet you. Tell us a little bit about yourself, please.
My name is Shauna, and I am originally from Orange County.
Okay.
Now live in Covina. I am a mommy and a yoga instructor. And
the yoga instructor explains one of those photos. You were doing strange things with your leg. I was like, I don't know that that's possible.
It is.
One of the three photos that you sent in, you can see Shauna at KevinBean.com right now. Just click on the Miss Double December pageant. What are you doing? Is this pose that you're in, is that something that you do in your class? Does it have a name?
It is a modified pigeon pose.
Modified pigeon pose. Mm-hmm.
Pigeon pose. Yes. Okay. Yoga is, for those of us who have never tried it even one time, incredibly difficult, right?
You know what? Yoga kind of caters to whatever level you are at. So it could be incredibly difficult if you're trying to jump in there and do, I don't know, some sort of crazy pose that you saw some yogini do on some magazine, but if you just start out with the basics and work your way up, then it's not that difficult.
Hmm. And it's low impact aerobics, basically, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, all right. How long have you been into that, and why are you a yoga teacher? Is this just something you love doing, for yourself?
Absolutely. When I was in college, I studied kinesiology, And I really just love the way that the body works and the body moves. So,
go on.
And yoga just seemed to fit naturally with that. And at the same time, I was taking yoga classes just to help relieve stress. And I just fell in love with it.
How many people come for the first time and then they go, you know what? This is not for me. I can't take it. And they drop out.
There's it a happens. Couple of people. They'll come. They'll do. We'll have like specials at yoga studios. Like the first week, you know, is free, and people will come every day for a week. And then all of a sudden, they're like, I don't know if this is for me. But you know what? The thing is, a lot of people are like, oh, I'm not flexible. I can't do yoga. But that's the whole point. Like you keep doing it, and then you get more flexible. So you start.
Do you have guys in your class, Shauna?
Yes.
Do you get hit on a lot?
Yes.
And how do you handle that?
I try to be as nice as possible because I don't want any complaints about me being rude to students.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, you got to keep that in mind.
Yes, so I'm just very, very nice, and I try to keep everything very professional, though.
Okay. Let's talk about the position for which you are applying, which is Miss Double December 2016. As you know, if you win, you get to come to Acoustic Christmas with us. You get to go to the Weenie Roast next year and April Foolishness and the Breakfast with and the Singles Party and all the fun stuff that we do throughout the year.
Yes.
We'd love to, you know, we always look forward to having an attractive member of the cast for a year. Why do you want to be Miss Double D and how'd you end up entering the pageant this year?
First of all those reasons. I love K-Rock. I've been listening to K-Rock since I was a little kid. I learned all about sex from Dr. Drew and Adam Carolla.
Drew took your virginity too?
No, that's not what
I meant. No, I lost mine.
She meant listening, Bean.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I was a little young at that time, so that might have been inappropriate.
But let's talk about how Dr. Drew taught Bean, though, because he said that's how
he lost
mine.
It was Adam.
It is.
Adam?
Yeah. All right, so you've been listening for all these years, but 10 years ago you didn't apply, 5 years ago, this year, 2016
this
is ahead.
Okay,
you
so
said, all right, I'm going to go for it.
This is the year I did it. The thing is, I've always had naturally large breasts, but never double D.
Okay.
So 5 months ago, I gave birth to twins.
No.
And
5 months ago?
Yes, literally 5 months ago.
Wow.
They will be 5 months old on the 4th, Friday.
Oh, my God. Look at you, though. After having twins 5 months ago, that's
yes.
a medical miracle.
Do you worship Satan? Or do you do some kind of voodoo?
It must be the yoga, right?
It must be the yoga.
That's incredible.
So the thing is, I worked hard and I lost the belly. But the big breasts, they're still there.
Uh-huh.
So now I have the double Ds. So I was like, you know what?
This is the perfect time
in
my life.
Why not? Why not do it
Magic.
This year?
So you'll have those for the entire length of your reign if you win, right? Because the babies, you'll still have the babies. You'll still be feeding the babies,
I'll
right?
still
oh,
be feeding
perfect.
The babies. If they're only 5 months old, I'm going to keep feeding them and keep the breasts
well,
as long
I
as I can.
I had to do the math. I had to do the math in my head because my fear was she's Miss Double D and then she shows up at the weenie roast with bees. You know what I mean? Because she's not feeding anymore. But it sounds like it's going to work out time-wise.
No,
I'm uncomfortable with this line of questioning from bees.
This got real weird.
Shauna, what's your talent going to be on stage in Fullerton?
Yoga. Of course.
Oh, you're going to do yoga for us.
I'm going to do yoga for you. It's kind of a little mixture of yoga. I add a couple little stripper type moves in there, but it's basically yoga.
Stripper yoga.
Stripper yoga.
We are not going to prevent you from doing that. We are all about you fulfilling your dreams.
As long as that's your dream, we want to help make it come true.
Right.
That's what we're saying.
No to stripper yoga. All right. So Friday, here's the deal. We are going to be in Fullerton. This is our one of our biggest and most successful broadcasts of the whole year long. People have such a great time when they come out to see the pageant. It starts bright and early in Fullerton there at the Slide Bar Rock and Roll Kitchen. If you can't make it down there, by the way, we are going to be webcasting so you can watch the whole thing from wherever you are. But if you are coming down, we're looking for a new unwrapped toy as your price of admission that morning. Anything else you want us to know about you, Shauna, before we say goodbye until Friday?
Just that I would love to be your Miss Double December, and my double Ds are all natural.
Ladies and gentlemen,
there you
Shauna.
Go.
Shauna.
This is America Great. Thank you. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 9:52.
Last Christmas, I've been a paraplegic now for over 20 years.
Stuck in your head now, isn't it?
It is.
Can't think of anything
can't
else.
Get a peek out of my head.
Best Christmas song of all time.
Yep.
Time for one final look at the showbiz beat here on a Wednesday morning. What's going on?
I do want to give people a heads up. Friday night, we've been talking about it. Hollywood Babylon is coming back. We are finally getting back on the stage to do Hollywood Babylon at the Improv on Melrose, Friday night, 10 p.m. And Kevin Smith and I cordially invite you to come out and join us. We'd love to see
you.
Wow. Word this morning is tickets are moving briskly, which is great news. But if you want to get your tickets, you might want to go to improv.com sooner than later and pick up tickets for this Friday show. Or in 2 weeks on Saturday on the 19th, we're also doing a show. And then that's it. That's it for 2015. Screw you, 2015.
Seems a little lazy.
No.
You're doing about one a month now.
It's been a particularly difficult scheduling period of time. Mr. Smith is a very busy man, and I occasionally have to be out of town as well. So,
does Mr. Smith ever go to Washington?
I want to stab you right in the eye right now.
Well, he's
yeah. No, yeah.
Mm-hmm. He travels a lot. He might
Let me address our coveted 17-year-old listeners. Mr. Smith Goes to Washington was a film starring Jimmy Stewart. Who's Jimmy Stewart, you're asking? Okay, let me back up. There was a popular film actor at the turn of the century named Jimmy Stewart, and he made a bunch of films, one of which was a story about American politics called Mr. Smith Goes to Washington. And that was made, I believe, in the early 40s.
I think it was 1939, if I remember
correctly. There you go.
That's why I thought it was a very timely reference for our audience.
Yep.
Thank you for supporting me on that, Ralph.
We're bleeding out. I'm just saying, why don't you say less?
We are bleeding out. That's all I'm saying. They put a tourniquet on us because we're bleeding out.
Hey, are you not working New Year's Eve this year for the first
time
in a while? We're
not doing a Babylon for New Year's Eve this year. Yeah.
That's unusual.
Certain parties, I won't say who, told me at home that she wanted to go out for New Year's Eve and did not want me to do a show.
Who could that be then?
I don't know. I don't know who could do that. Some mystery person.
Okay.
So we're taking a little family vacation over the Christmas holiday. So we will not be in town to perform that
Good
New Year's Eve.
You should just send her back up on the roof.
I don't even know what that was referencing or who you could be talking about. And I don't care for you right now. Because the roof was completely safe. She was tethered.
Right.
She was tethered.
No,
to an electrical cord tied around her waist.
I'll have you know, a sturdy industrial strength electrical extension cord is much more hardy than a piece of twine or rope or something else you might find.
Right,
so I think it was a good choice.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to jump in and defend Ralph here as well.
Oh, boy. Here we go.
I have this conversation at my house when somebody has to do something dangerous, like climb up on the roof, and I go, who's more able to support the family?
Right.
And, I mean, if somebody's going to die, you want it to be, you know, the person who's not making the money,
oh,
I think.
That's not what I was going for.
Wow.
I meant physical support. It's easier for me to hold up this slight 125 pounds of my wife than it would be vice versa.
That's what you were talking about. I was talking about if somebody dies.
Yeah, I was talking about actual supporting the person, not who's going to bring in the paycheck.
Here's the thing. It's not good to have Bean on your side.
It really isn't.
It
no good
help.
Ever comes
if Bean's
from
on
that.
Your side, you need to change sides.
Yes.
Well, it's just that if I die, then how's Don going to pay for dog food? You know what I mean? If she dies, I can still cover that. So
wouldn't just Stryker just step in and pick up the check?
That's true. That's a good point. She has already made those arrangements.
Isn't he waiting in the wings, as they say?
He is on deck.
He must be so frustrated. Can you imagine? Go on with the analogy of you're waiting in the wings to go on stage,
okay,
right?
Okay. Yeah.
You're the understudy for the leading man, and you've been waiting and waiting and waiting for your shot to star in the show, which would be Donna's vagina. And you're waiting.
Right.
And then, so, boom, he passes out and cracks the ribs on the radiator, and he goes down just from standing up. And you say,
this is my
moment. Yeah. This is it. You're going out there a nobody, kid, but you're coming back a star. It's his moment. No.
Then he gets back up.
You're at Acoustic Christmas, and he tumbles off a stage. a fall that would kill a mortal man. And you say, this is my moment. This is now my time. He gets back up.
Still
How many false starts has poor Stryker had there in the wings, waiting to step out on stage?
I mean, I've certainly given him a lot of
false
opportunities
hope. A lot
to
of
be
false
optimistic.
Hope
yeah,
is what
yeah,
you've
guess,
given him.
I guess so.
I feel bad for that tailed bastard.
It's another holiday season upon us, you guys. There's another chance that I'll get very seriously.
This is your time of year. This is when you shine.
Do
Dude.
The healthiest man alive.
Healthiest man alive.
You mentioned the radiator where I broke all those ribs. You mentioned the fall off the stage. The year before, a couple years ago, I fell down the stairs here at my house.
Oh, right.
Bruise about a foot long. Broke another rib that time. I mean, I'm bad at the holidays.
Don't you regularly strike your head on the ceiling as you go downstairs in your house, too? Isn't that a recurring theme?
He hits his head on everything.
Dude, I got my head. We have no time for any of this nonsense. I got my head in a ceiling fan about a week ago. I stood up at a restaurant and put my head into a ceiling fan. Not a joke.
Is there video?
Not that I am aware of.
Sure, that you don't periscope. Another ride on the ferry. We got.
Well, I didn't know it was happening.
Well,
you know?
Someone should have.
Bad.
It always happens.
There should have been whispering in the restaurant, going, "When that tall dude stands up, he's
going to be funny.
He's totally going to decapitate himself. Watch."
So stay ready, Stryker. I guess that's what we're saying to you.
Yeah.
Periscope. Nope.
Speaking of politics and show business.
Were we?
Were we?
At some point? Oh, Mr. Smith
well, we
goes
were.
To Washington.
Mr. Smith,
oh, okay. Smith goes to Washington. I knew there was a tangential connection.
Yeah.
New series ordered by CBS called Brain Dead from the same people who created The Good Wife will star Mary Elizabeth Winstead and Danny Pino from Law & Order, SVU, and Cold Case. It's about a new Washington, D.C. staffer who discovers the government has stopped working and that aliens have come to Earth and eaten the brains of a growing number of congressmen and other staffers in D.C. I can't tell if this is a comedy or not. Brain-eating aliens taking over the government.
It has right. to be a comedy.
Congress filled with brainless zombies. It's a documentary.
Yeah. Yeah.
Zing! Political humor! All right, let's go home.
Please.
Today's celebrity birthdays, actress Lucy Liu is 47 years old today. Bassist for Foo Fighters, Nate Mendel, celebrates his 47th birthday as well. I love Foo Fighters.
Yep.
Sure wish they were playing someplace where I could see them. Now.
Well, there's been no shortage of opportunities to see Foo Fighters in recent years.
I know.
I'm
in the mood right now.
Saw
I'm in the mood
a
now.
A month or two ago. When did they play the Forum? Saw them then?
Yeah.
It was great.
But I mean now.
Same.
I'd like them to be in the studio.
Right, but they're not.
Isn't Dave Grohl having a drum off with Animal? Is that tonight?
That happened last night.
Oh, last night.
Last night, yeah.
Oh, I'm glad we covered it.
Who won? Okay.
Anyone know?
I don't.
Nelly Furtado is 37 years old today. Britney Spears is 34. Aaron Rodgers, Green Bay Packers quarterback. He's 32 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. I want to mention one more time the Friends and Helpers event that we're doing this afternoon. It's at the El Segundo Toyota Sports Center. The LA Kings practice there. It's their practice facility with the LA Kings. And Bailey's going to be there. And Luke Robitaille is going to be there.
I will be there. I will drop the puck. If you like the hockey, come on down. I'll give you a pad and a blocker stick.
Just bring an unwrapped toy down there and you can get in. You can get pictures taken and all that. And we appreciate it in advance. Tomorrow morning, an all-new Kevin and Bean Show. Dr. Drew's on the program. Jim Rome's on the program. Jonah Ray is going to be in studio. We're going to meet another Miss Double December. And we've got tickets for the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas and backstage passes for night one. Tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show.